is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy cuts to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon. Welcome to One Bills Drive. Welcome, everybody. John Murphy, Donald Jones here for the next 3 hours. Talk about Bills football. Happy you tuned in, whether it's on the radio side on WGR Sports Radio 550 or on MSG on the simulcast. Happy to have you here today. We promise to have a good show, an eventful show today. We got a good guest lineup, and we are anticipating some other things to discuss as well. And let's start by talking about what we know and what we don't know. We are certainly at this point aware of reports concerning Eric Wood, the veteran Bills center. We anticipate that very shortly there will be official confirmation of what has been reported, but there is no confirmation yet. ESPN reporting that Wood has a neck injury that will force him to retire. No confirmation on that yet from the Bills or Eric Wood, and we're going to wait for something official from Wood or the team before we dive headfirst into this. We do anticipate that will be coming shortly. And part of this, Donald, I think we want to give Eric Wood the respect he deserves. 9 years as a Warrior for this franchise, 120 games started for the Bills over that time. It's just a report now, and now it is out, I am told. So it's more than a report. Eric Wood was going to tweet something out, and we are told that the tweet is out there. Eric Wood, the tweet. 39 seconds ago, I appreciate and thank everyone for their thoughts, concerns, and prayers. I will shed more light on the situation at a press conference on Monday at the team facility. So not exactly confirmation, but you know what I'm saying? Eric Wood deserves to, you know, you deserve to have a right to talk about your career and what do you got there? Go ahead.
Yeah,
I just read that. Oh, two tweets. You got a second tweet. Yeah. Let's go on. I can't keep up. Here it is. I was diagnosed with a neck injury as part of my season-ending physical with the Bills. After consultation with Dr. Cappuccino and other physicians, I was informed that I was no longer cleared to play football, even with surgery or further treatment. It's bad. It's not good. It's sad. As I said, one of the all-time Warriors in franchise history. I do believe that he has the right to announce it himself, and he will apparently do so at a news conference coming up in the next day or two. There are contractual considerations, obviously, salary cap considerations, and I think there are personal considerations for Eric Wood. So that's why we haven't tweeted anything out about this until Eric did it right now, out of concern and respect for him. It's his decision to go. You were in a very similar situation as a player.
I was in the same situation as a player, and when you're dealing with something like this that doesn't allow you to play anymore, you have to respect that person's privacy and have to respect that person's family and that person's wishes, you know, and let me make this announcement. Don't let somebody else make the announcement. I want to do it on my terms, you know, so that's why we hadn't really said anything.
And now we're ready to say, by the way, we go on the air at noon too.
Right.
And we do have another show too. Yes, we're going to do a show here today, right? It's certainly bad news for Eric Wood, bad news for the Buffalo Bills. We've got a show to do and a job to do. We will do it and talk about Eric Wood now that he has confirmed it. So don't worry about that. If you were worried that we would skirt that issue or not talk about that, please rest easy. We will talk about it. Don't worry about that. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. On the show today, along with Eric Wood talk, we will do other things, including talking with Robert Mays, who is an outstanding NFL writer for The Ringer, and he's written a couple of good things about head coaches calling plays. We talked about that briefly yesterday, a trend that is not going to go away, and he dove headfirst into some of the issues about these teams in the Super Bowl. Team building lessons from the playoffs. We'll talk with Robert Mays about that. 1 o'clock, Greg Cosell will break down last week's championship games for us, and he will also get into a Super Bowl preview with Greg Cosell. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. And at 2:30, Brian Daboll, the brand new offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, who met the media down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. Brian Daboll will be in studio with us today at 2:30. We will soldier on, Donald. But on Eric Wood, now the news official with his tweet today saying he has a career-ending neck injury diagnosed as part of his season-ending physical. He's talked with Dr. Andy Cappuccino, Bills team doctor, and other doctors, informed that he is no longer cleared to play football, even with surgery and further treatment. Wood went on to say, I appreciate and thank everyone for their thoughts, concerns, and prayers. I will shed more light on the situation at a press conference Monday here at One Bills Drive. We certainly will carry that news conference live. It is a rough end to Eric Wood's career. Obviously, a rough way to go, and certainly the euphoria of making the playoffs for the first time in his career had to be one of the high points, I would think. He'll talk about this on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for Eric. He's been nothing but a gentleman, nothing but a warrior. He's had a great career with the Bills. You know, his entire career, 9 seasons with the Bills, 120 games started, Pro Bowl appearance in 2015. Came out of the Bills as a first-round draft pick in 2009 out of Louisville, 2-time first-team All-Big East performer. A solid rock that you didn't have to really worry about. They plugged him in to play center, and he never came out for the most part for 9 years, Donald.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a very good player for this team. He's been a very good person in this community for the last 9 years. So you can take nothing away from Eric Wood. At the same time, I feel for him as well, because I've been in that position where something that's really out of your control takes what you love to do away from you. And that for him is to play the sport of football. He just signed that extension, and you just, like you said, had the euphoria of making it to the playoffs. So in his mind, man, we can build on this and move forward. And now he won't be able to do that, or he won't be able to be a part of it if this team does continue to move forward and be in the playoffs, maybe possibly to a Super Bowl. Who knows? So I do feel for Eric Wood. Now, I would like to say this. It's always tough when a player's career comes to an end. Most guys do not get to walk away from the game on their own terms. It's usually because you either weren't good enough or because of an injury. You know, so this is something that when you sign up for this thing, you know at some point it's going to come to an end. It's just tough to see the way it's ending for Eric Wood. And I'll also say this. I'm glad for him now that he was able to go to a doctor and for them to tell him, you won't be able to do this anymore, rather than to be on the field and truly, truly hurt himself. Yep. You know, so I'm happy that he is able to walk away like this. He still will be able to play with his kids and things like that. It's truly not worth it. You know, he's had a very good career, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah, and that's an interesting perspective from you, from a former player, and especially from you having had your career cut short by an illness. And in Eric's case, with the neck injury, I mean, worst case scenario is something like that. Is Eric Wood lying on a football field somewhere, you know, with, you know, who knows, unable to have feeling in his extremities or unable to move in his extremities, and maybe he gets better, maybe he doesn't, that sort of uncertainty. The Bills kind of just went through that with Aaron Williams, right, last season. And that was, you know, we're all on pins and needles. So that goes to your point of how you feel good for him to get the proper diagnosis. It sounds like he's got the extensive medical assistance on this and consultation with Dr. Andy Cappuccino locally and some other doctors. So although it can't be easy for Eric Wood, on the other hand, it probably feels like, well, I did my work, I did my homework, I know what I'm facing here, and that's my decision, tough as it is for him to deal with. There is an upside that he is not seriously hurt or does not, you know, you would think does not have to worry about down the road serious disability, right? Because he pulls the plug at this difficult time.
I mean, it's something like that. It's truly not worth it. You're talking about your neck, and I talked to Aaron Williams about this when he was going through it. You know, it's truly not worth you getting out there on the field and hurting yourself any more than you've already hurt yourself. If you have this injury, go ahead and walk away from this thing with I don't know what he's dealing with, but still being able to walk, still being able to play with your kids for the rest of your life. Don't get out there, try to get out there on the field again, and something happened, and then it's like, man, something horrible happens out there on the field. You don't want that. So I'm just happy that he was smart enough to go out and talk to doctors and for them to say, look, this is probably not the smartest thing for you to do.
Give us a call if you'd like to talk about it. Eric Wood announces that he is ending his career after a season-ending physical showed some neck injuries and issues that would not allow him to continue to play, not be solved by surgery or treatment. Eric Wood has decided that his career is over. Your thoughts on that? Maybe you want to say something to or about Eric Wood. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Again, Wood says, via Twitter, I was diagnosed with a neck injury as part of my season-ending physical with the Bills. After consultation with Dr. Andy Cappuccino and other doctors, I was informed that I was no longer cleared to play football, even with surgery or further treatment. Your thoughts on that? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Of course we're going to talk about that. You know, some people speculating on Twitter, well, they're not going to talk about that. Let me guess, you aren't going to talk about Eric Wood? Wrong guess. Somebody, I just can't get over this. Somebody actually, I won't even dignify the name, said us tweeting out what our show lineup was without confirmation of Eric Wood, he says it's like reporting a baseball score 20 minutes after the 9/11 tragedy. It has that type of feel to it. No, not even close. I'm so offended by that.
Yeah.
9/11. Great. Won't listen again? Good. Don't. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Eric Wood announces that he has a neck situation that will not allow him to continue his career. Want to get your thoughts on that? The phone line's open at 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Eric Wood had a pretty high profile in the community also, and
yes,
I hope that he's able to continue that. He was the Bills nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year in both 2015 and 2016. He set up the Eric Wood Fund that provides seriously ill, special needs, and physically challenged children throughout the Buffalo region with daily encouragement and life-changing experiences. Inspired to start that by his the foundation by his brother Evan, who passed away at age 11 due to severe cerebral palsy. Eric Wood, off the field, always seemed to have his heart in the right place and did a lot of charitable work. Had that big fundraiser every year at the Hyatt Hotel downtown. He was always involved in bills in the community. He was part of the Bills Play 60 program. He would round up his teammates and get them downtown for that fundraising dinner, have the teammates serve dinner to those who were there, and did a great job for that. So it wasn't, you know, Eric Wood didn't just play football here. He was a part of this community, just had just celebrated the birth of a second child, I want to say, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just an all-around great guy. He is definitely going to be missed. A great Louisville basketball fan, and he and I used to go at it a lot about Louisville and Rick Pitino. And, you know, when Michigan played Louisville in the national championship game in 2013, we were going at it back and forth. Loyal to his city, his hometown, and loyal to his college, Louisville. I mean, I believe last time I talked to him, for several years he had basketball season tickets for Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
That's how big of a fan he was.
He'll be able to go back and enjoy those games
enjoy
a lot more.
And you played with him as a teammate. Mm-hmm. So for what, 2 years, 3 years?
3 years.
Yeah.
3 years.
What do you recall about him as a teammate?
He's always been the same guy that you know. When you talk to him, he's always been that guy. And he's going to continue to be the same person, just a good dude, always, even now, you know, says what's up to you. What's up, Donald? How you doing? And we'll talk about different things, family, whatever the case may be. So like you talked about him being – Walter Payton Man of the Year for the team, 2 years. I mean, he's a guy who has always understood the importance of being out in the community, because there are like 1% of people in this world that get the opportunity that he has to be here in Buffalo playing football, making a lot of money playing the sport of football. A kid's sport, and you get to make a lot of money doing it. And a lot of players don't really understand the importance or – let's just say the responsibility that comes with that, of getting out in the community and helping others. And so he's always understood that. He's always done things like that since even when I was here, he was doing that type of stuff. And you talked about him having a kid in the last couple of weeks. I mean, when you have a kid, it puts things in perspective. It does. And this was the second, I believe. The second kid?
Yes.
It does. It helps to put things in perspective. And I remember when I was going through the kidney stuff, because I had my son, it was like, this is not worth it. It's not worth it. Let me go and talk to these doctors and see what they really feel like I should do at this point moving forward. And so I wish nothing but the best for Eric. I'm pretty sure he's going to still be around this community, still do a lot of things in this community. This was the only team that he played for. It's not like he played for five different teams, you know. So he's kind of like Fred Jackson, who still comes back into the community and does a lot of things. I would think Eric Wood will do the same thing.
Eric Wood announcing today is a career-ending neck injury. Surgery won't help, and so he is ready to step aside and retire from the NFL. We'll have a news conference here at One Bills Drive on Monday. Of course, we'll carry that live. Your thoughts, we're welcome to, we'd love to hear them from you. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. And we'll start with Pete in Rochester. Hello, Pete. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Like a lot of other Bills fans, probably, I found out about the news this morning on social media before the name was released that it was Eric Wood. And when it was announced that he was the player that had suffered this injury, it just took my disappointment up to a whole nother level. Eric Wood is revered in this community in a special class of Bills players, a group that includes guys like Fred Jackson and Kyle Williams that has not only been warriors on the field, but to do so much for the community of Buffalo. And I'm always seeing pictures of Eric Wood at schools and hospitals helping out in the community. And when the Bills made the playoffs this year, Bills fans came together and donated something like $300,000 to the Andy Dalton Foundation. And I think that it would just be a really nice gesture if we could repay to Eric, you know, what he's given to us. And he's got a fund that benefits Children's Hospital of Buffalo. And I think it'd be really cool if Bills fans could rally together and raise some money for that. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. I agree with you. That would be really cool. I'm sure Eric, as he sorts through today's announcement on Twitter and his news conference on Monday, I'm sure he'll be – people will suggest that sort of thing, and I'll defer to him, you know, to direct people to the places that he wants it to go if people have that inclination if they want to do that.
I just want to remind people, and the caller was saying, I found out, like most Bills fans on social media, we found out the same way this morning. You know, we don't know what's going on like that. I mean, we found out the same way, and as people are tweeting in – being upset with us about what we're posting on with today's show and all of that stuff, we found out just like you guys, and we're also trying to respect this man's privacy and his family and his wishes.
Yeah, he deserves the right. I mean, you know, I went – Pat LaFontaine, great hockey player for the Buffalo Sabres, had concussion issues. And there came a point when everybody was speculating – this is 15 years ago now – so much speculation about what he is going to do, what he should do, and everybody had an opinion. And I got to the point then, totally different job. I was working at Channel 7, I believe, where I just kind of backed off and said, you know, that's Pat LaFontaine's decision. You know, yeah, I probably wish he, at the time, I remember thinking, for his sake, I hope he retires, but I'm not going to suggest that. I'm not going to demand that. Right. And I kind of had the same similar feelings today, you know, like that's Eric Wood's decision to announce what he wants to announce the way he wants to. Not me, not you, Donald, not, you know, the Twitterati who think they know everything about everything, you know, that's their decision. You have to respect that. And any player deserves that respect, but especially a guy who's been here for 9 years deserves to do it his way, to go out his way, to make the announcement the way he wants, to put the words on paper that he wants to put on paper, not what I want or what you want or what serves our show or what people on Twitter think they are owed, you know. The stuff comes out. Guys make their announcement. In their own time. This is not about, you know, racing to the finish line here. I don't get that. Fred and Webster. Hello, Fred. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How you doing? A long-time caller, a long-time listener.
Great, Fred.
Just a couple things. I'm not a big social media fan myself anyway, so I didn't even get it. I don't even have Twitter, so I didn't get it. I got it from you guys. But and I thank you for that, being right on the ball as usual. Eric, yeah, Eric doesn't care. Eric is a pro. He care. I'm not saying he doesn't care about the thought process and the people that are, you know, worry about him. But he's a man. You know, he's a grown man, makes his own decisions. He's got his own family. He's going to do the right thing. And personally, I think his best days are ahead of him. They might be ahead of him outside of football. You know, but anyway, yeah, old football center myself. Loves Ken Hull. Ken Hull is my favorite. And Eric stepped right into his shoes a few years later, did a good job. Those offensive centers, I'll tell you, people don't understand. They got to make line calls. They almost have to make as many calls as the quarterback does. So as far as Eric goes, the best of luck. Love you, buddy. And, you know, you'll always do the right thing. Not worried about it. Okay, guys.
Okay, thank you. I think that's a pretty well thought out response. It's too bad, no question. It's bad for Eric. It's not good for the Bills. It's sad that, as you point out, how many guys get to walk away the way they want? Not many. Most guys leave because they're hurt, right?
The greats don't even a lot of the time get to walk away the way they want to walk away from the game. There are few that truly get to walk away the way they want. It usually ends ugly, and it's either you're hurt or you're just not good enough anymore because you've gotten older. It's really tough when you're a person who still has some left in the tank, who is enjoying the fact that we just made it to the playoffs for the first time in my 9-year career. We just made it to the playoffs. We can build on that. That's tough. It really is, you know. And I feel for him on that front, and I also am happy for him that he gets to walk away from this game still being able to move all of his extremities and still being able to play with his kids and all of that stuff.
Me too. And as you said, that is the upside on what is kind of a sad day, the fact that he does it now. He's had proper medical diagnosis. He's had consultation with more than one doctor, and he makes the decision, and he announces the decision. That is the upside. Talking about Eric Wood, announced today that he has a neck injury that will end his football career and his tenure with the Buffalo Bills. You're welcome to join us to discuss that, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it on Twitter if you'd like. If you're civil, at John Murphy Show. Eric Wood with the announcement today. I was diagnosed with a neck injury as part of my season-ending physical with the Bills. After consultation with Dr. Andy Cappuccino and other physicians, I was informed that I was no longer cleared to play football, even with surgery or further treatment. Wood went on to say, I appreciate and thank everyone for their thoughts, concerns, and prayers, and I will shed more light on the situation at a press conference Monday at the team facility. And the tweets coming in from teammates, too. Some of Eric Wood's teammates will kind of get through those as the afternoon goes along. But we'd like to hear from you, Bills fans. What do you think of this? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or on Twitter at John Murphy Show. No Twitter poll today. We'll just kind of talk about Eric Wood a lot and reconfigure our show with a couple of guests lined up, including Brian Daboll, the new offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, scheduled to join us at 2:30. There one image of that sticks with me when you think about Eric Wood, and especially recently in the, as I call it, the euphoria about finally ending the playoff drought. I mean, that locker room, we talked about this, that locker room in Miami after the Bills got into the playoffs was absolute bedlam. It was unbelievable. But there was one image, and I saw them too, and somebody took a great picture of Eric Wood shirtless and Kyle Williams shirtless in the locker room, arms around each other, sort of celebrating. They've both been through so much with this franchise, you know, contemporaries, leaders on opposite sides of the ball, and the pure joy and relief and euphoria that they both exhibited in that picture. I think I'll always remember that image as one of the great images coming out of that locker room in Miami. The Bills made the playoffs, end of the drought. We all know that. But there was just such a weight lifted off the franchise that late afternoon, early evening in Miami. And I'll never forget that. And that image of Wood and Kyle Williams arm in arm, shirtless.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. I mean, it was just an amazing image of the two warriors on either sides of the ball, just total glee about finally getting this off their backs.
I'm telling you, you talk about the franchise having that on their backs. Those two guys have been here the longest on this team, and they've had that on their backs, and they've wanted nothing more but to get to the playoffs, to end the drought every single year. Eric Wood for 9 years, you know, and that's why those guys were so excited about it. Yeah, we're excited to be in the playoffs and excited about the way it happened. But for those two guys, they felt a lot of the weight of all the fans just talking about the drought. Just talking about the drought every single year, because those guys had been here the longest. And so I was happy when I saw that picture. Like, man, that's what's up for those guys.
Yeah.
I'm happy for those guys.
How many hundreds of questions you think Eric Wood had to answer over the 9 years he was here about the playoff drought? So probably the first couple of years, not many. But over the last 5 years, I bet he was almost 1,000 questions about the drought.
Yes.
You're going to end the drought. Is this year they're going to end the drought? You think he'll end the drought? How does it feel to end the drought now that it's over? What do you say to fans that they don't end the drought? You know what I mean?
I mean
come on. Hundreds, if not 1,000.
For me as a player, back in 2010, we weren't even at 17 years yet.
Yeah.
We were still at, 10 years? We were at 10
years. Which was enough?
It was enough, definitely enough. We were at 10 years, and I would hear every year that I was here, this is the year. Is this the year we're going to do it? Fans, when I'm just out in Target or Walmart or something like that, we're going to do it this year? And all I could say was, I hope so.
Yeah, who knows?
I hope so. So these guys, a guy like Eric has been saying the same thing for 9 years. Kyle for, 13 years? It was total euphoria for those guys in that locker room to experience that together, because they've been here for so long, the experience, the way they actually got in. So you could really be nothing but happy for those guys in that moment.
A couple of tweets that are worth reading. They're few and far between sometimes, but Douglas Briggs Jr. tweets in, for us drought kids, I've never heard that.
Yeah.
I know what that means.
That Steve said that? Drought baby.
Drought baby. For us drought kids, Eric Wood is the same to me as Jeter for the Yankees. Thank you, Eric. Love you, man. That's pretty appropriate. I mean, Jeter winning championships, but just a day-in, day-out warrior. I could see that. That's a pretty good analogy for drought kids.
Eric Wood was a guy who truly embraced the city, and the city embraced him. As he was out in the community, he never was a guy who, I mean, I don't know when he was going through his whole contract stuff, if he ever wanted to get out of here or any of that stuff, but he never did. He always came back. You know, he was here for 9 years. And most guys can't even say that. I got to play for one team. Most guys in today's football life, it's rare that you get to play for one team for 9 years. If it's on your own terms that you end up leaving or because the team cuts you and you end up going somewhere else. I mean, it's rare that you get to do that. So for him, he is Buffalo. He's from Kentucky. He loves the school, Louisville. But he is also the city of Buffalo, and he has done a lot in this city.
What do you think of Eric Wood's hair as a teammate?
Oh, it was always crazy.
Did you ever want it just run
yes,
up?
Yes, I wanted to cut it.
I thought maybe – oh, there's the – yeah, on the TV side, you see the picture I was talking about.
Me and Kyle. Yeah. I mean, I used to say, Eric, I mean, I know you got, like, the curls going and all that stuff up there, but you ever think about cutting it, man? You know, because you have him with his crazy wild hair, and then you had Fitz with his beard when I was playing.
Yeah.
And both of those guys, and they will always hang out together. You two guys, what if you put your beard on Eric's hair, put that together, you know? But, yeah, he had some wild hair going.
A couple of other tweets. Eric Hickman tweets in, the Eric Wood news is devastating, but the community is not losing him. Just donated to the Eric Wood Fund to say thank you. Hope every Bills fan does the same. That's pretty cool. Nick tweets in, still reeling after hearing the Wood news. Absolutely tragic that he cannot go out on his own terms, but hopefully he's still able to live a normal life from here on out. Yeah, I think that's the way many of us feel, and that's kind of where you went to almost immediately. As a former player, you're like, this is good news for Eric long term. Terrible for his career, but good news for his life, probably.
Right. It's great news for his life, for his family, that if he would have truly gotten hurt on the field just trying to be a warrior for the team, then what? His family, his kids don't get to really experience dad like that. I mean, when you, as a player, when you are about to retire, a lot of guys say, all right, now I get to spend more time with my kids. So if he would have truly gotten hurt on the field, he wouldn't have been able to spend the time, the true time of playing with your kids and being able to maybe coach them and teach them different things, because you're talking about your neck. You can truly hurt yourself and be paralyzed and all of that stuff. So you have to look at it in that way as well, and not just be sad for Eric.
Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Going to push back at least one guest and maybe talk a little bit about the championship games last week. Greg Cosell had won, and we've got the new offensive coordinator Brian Daboll scheduled to come in at 2:30. We'll continue with that. But in the meantime, give us your thoughts on the news on Eric Wood. Not good news at all. The Bills' longtime veteran center, team captain, announcing today that he has to step away from the game, has to retire due to a neck injury. We've got time to talk with you about that on the telephone line at 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, the John Murphy Show. The news came down about 30 minutes ago from Eric Wood that he has announced that he is done with football. The tweet from Eric Wood, I was diagnosed with a neck injury as part of my season-ending physical with the Bills. After consultation with Dr. Andy Cappuccino and other physicians, I was informed that I was no longer cleared to play football, even with surgery or further treatment. Eric went on to say, I appreciate and thank everyone for their thoughts, concerns, and prayers. I will shed more light on the situation at a press conference Monday at the team facility. Eric Wood, 2015 Pro Bowl performer, one of the better running games in the NFL the last 3 years now, and he's been a big part of that. 28th overall pick in the 2009 draft out of Louisville. Started in 120 games for the Bills since 2009. Only Kyle Williams has played longer on the roster, and Eric Wood's tenure on the Buffalo Bills roster comes to an end. It's a sad day, Donald.
Yeah, it depends on how you look at it.
No, I know what you mean.
It depends on how you look at it. It's a sad day it's a sad day for him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because he's like, man,
that's what he did for a living.
Yeah, he did this for a living. He did it for a long time. And like we were talking about, he just went to the playoffs and would obviously want to continue that. When you talk about the locker room, him being a leader in the locker room, it's going to be a blow to the team. They're going to lose one of their leaders, especially on that offensive line, on the offensive side of the ball, on the team, period. It's a sad day for when you think about it that way.
803-0550, the number to call, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Your reaction to the news that Eric Wood's career is over with the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Tom in West Seneca. Hello, Tom. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Don. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
First of all, my thoughts and prayers are family. He's been a great Buffalo Bill, both on the field and off the field, and being able to walk away from the and be with his family, like Don was saying, when you have a wife and children, that's the most important thing. I'm sure he'll miss the game. God bless him. But like Don says, it's imperative that he's there for his family and he was able to walk off the field. God bless him. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Thanks very much, Tom. Eric Wood will be here Monday to hold a news conference and talk about his decision. I'm sure we'll carry that live. Maybe we'll get him in here. And hopefully on Monday, folks will be able to ring him up and tell him what they think. I know people feel pretty strongly about Eric Wood. In the meantime, we'll take your calls now at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Eric Wood's career is over, a neck injury. Hey, Donald, this is a delicate question to ask. You've been out of football for 6 years, 7 years now?
2013.
Was it a difficult? I'm trying to think what Eric Wood will be going through here. Forced to leave the game, not of his own volition. He clearly would have come back and played if he didn't have this injury.
Right.
What are those first months, years going to be like for him? What's it going to be like for him in August when all his buddies are up at St. John Fisher getting ready for another season?
I'm going to say this in terms of what I had to deal with.
Yeah.
And I'm actually
going. That's why I'm asking you.
I know. I just don't want people to think, oh, that's what he's going to do. This might not be what he goes through.
Yeah.
Some people take some things and run with them left. And you'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So for me, and a couple of guys that I've known that have actually played and had to retire. But for me, my first couple of years, number one, I didn't even watch football. And that's why when you talk about the Doug Marrone years sometimes,
yeah,
I don't even know what you're talking about because I didn't even – I couldn't even watch it because I still have, but at that point I had a lot of friends that were playing still here on this team and around the league. And so it was tough for me to watch football. I had to go and speak to people, therapist about it, you know, because it was like, man, and I knew at that point I had already written my book. I knew what I wanted to do in the next part of my career, but at the same time, it was just like, I could still be playing. I was only 3 years in. I was going into my fourth year, and it was like, man, I'm still so young. Why am I going through this right now? Why me? Why couldn't I just continue to play and make a lot of money? I came in undrafted, and you always want to get to sign your second contract. I didn't get to do any of that stuff, you know. So
you felt cheated, kind of.
I did. I felt like, man, why do I have to go through this now? And then I see my boys, you know, Stevie and Marcus and all of those guys continuing to move on, signing contracts, enjoying the game, having fun. And I wasn't able to do that anymore. So I couldn't watch football anymore. You go through what now? What am I going to do now? Especially Eric, who his career has now ended prematurely in his mind. What am I going to do now? I don't know if he's already had in his mind something that he was preparing for, whether it's business, whether it's media, whatever yeah. it is. I don't know if he's been doing that, but you go through that because you have uncertainty as to what you're going to do next. He's still a young dude.
31.
Right. You got a long life to live. So what am I going to do for the rest of my life? And people will say, well, you made millions of dollars. What does that matter?
Yeah.
I've talked to players who have made so much money and they are so bored in life. And it's just like, I don't know what to do. All I focused on was football my entire life. That got me to the NFL. And when I got to the NFL, that was all I could focus on was football every single day. And so I don't know if he's already started to prepare himself while he was playing, but you do go through that. What am I going to do now for the rest of my life? I get to spend more time with my family, and I'm sure he's probably going to take – he would take a couple of years just to do that, just to enjoy his family and then try to get into something. Or maybe he will get into something, or maybe he's already started to get into something. But it's those first couple of years for me were very hard because it was like I felt cheated. Like you said, I felt cheated. The game was taken from me prematurely. Eric might feel that way. This game was taken from me prematurely. He just signed his extension. They just made it to the playoffs, like I've been saying. Man, especially if the team gets back to the playoffs and maybe goes deeper into the playoffs, that's going to be hard for him to deal with. So I wish the best for he and his family.
When you think about it, this has got to be – there's still got to be a shock sensation to Eric Wood.
Yes.
I mean,
right,
so season-ending physical back on, what was it, January 11th? When did the Bills play? January 8th? When was the game? January 7th. Mm-hmm. Season-ending physical on January 8th, not even 3 weeks ago. Since that time, he had the news, the initial diagnosis, I'm speculating here, from the Bills team doctors. I'm also speculating, and he said he consulted with other doctors, right, with other physicians. So over the last less than 3 weeks, two and a half, almost 3 weeks, Eric Wood has had to start to come to grips with the fact that his career is over,
right,
just after the high of making the playoffs and getting the new contract a year ago. That's got to be – there's got to be a little bit of my world is rocked here, you
it's
know, to
rocked.
Get that news in two and
I'm
a half
telling
weeks.
You. And I remember – during my last season here, I had already started to get the signs that something was up with my kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to the doctor, and the doctor says to me, you probably will only be able to play one more year, and then you're going to have a kidney transplant. You'll never play this sport again. And I remember when the doctor first told me that, I just broke down in tears. Like, man. I mean, when the doctor first said something about it, I'm like, well, how much longer can I play? And that just goes to show you what's in the mindset of a player, because all you want to do is play the sport that you've been doing for since you were 6-7 years old. The first thing I said, how long can I play? And he was like, you might be able to get one more year. And I just broke down into tears. I wasn't even worried about the transplant, none of that stuff. I was just like, I can't play football anymore. So I don't know if that's something that he dealt with, but I remember we were playing up in Toronto, and the crazy thing is Stevie and I took the trip up to Toronto the night before the game up there. We were playing Seattle. And this was the same day that out in Connecticut they had the shooting in the school. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yep.
And I'm in the car with Stevie, and Stevie says to me, and Stevie's not this type of guy. Like, Stevie's always joking, says crazy stuff to you, and he's like, yo, there's something bigger out there for you. And for Stevie to say something like that, it will hit you right away. Like, mm-hmm. Stevie, did you just say that to me? And that right there is when I started to think and come to grips with, it's over for me. And we still had a few games left. And I still was playing. And it was like, this is going to be it for me. You know. So, Eric, this is something, like you said, it's a shock for him. And it's going to take him a minute to really get over that shock.
Which is another reason why we don't jump the gun when it comes to
right.
reporting that.
Right.
It's a shock to him. That's why you don't just tweet out stupid things unless you know or speculate about stuff like this. Let's go to a couple of more phone calls here. Let's go to Scott in Orchard Park. Hello, Scott. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Hey, Donald. How are you guys doing? You guys do a great job.
Well, thank you, Scott.
And Lorenzo, when he's on, he enhances the show so much, it just makes me laugh all day long.
Oh, great. Thanks.
And it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it's like Donald. I mean, Eric brought class to this organization. And I hope he can stay around. And I wish him the best for him and his family. And Donald, we pray for you every night, too, man. You brought class to our organization. And Murph, you're the best. So
say some prayers for me, too, Scott. I need prayers.
I pray for you. I see you
thanks.
On SCTV. So I
thanks.
Pray for you all the time.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
All right, Murph.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for calling. We're going to take a break. We come back, the reaction coming in from some of Eric Wood's teammates via Twitter. We'll check on some of that when we return. You can let us know what you think, too. Eric Wood, a career-ending neck injury. He'll make the formal announcement here Monday at a news conference, but give us your thoughts, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show on this Friday afternoon. John Murphy, Donald Jones, talking with you about Eric Wood, the Bills veteran center, 9-year veteran, announced today that he is retiring, diagnosed with a neck injury at his season-ending physical, consulted with Bills team doctors and other doctors, told that he was no longer cleared to play football, even with surgery or further treatment. Eric Wood will hold a news conference here at the facility on Monday to shed more light on this situation. That's what's on the table today. We'll get your thoughts on that, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Erica in Jamestown. Go ahead, Erica. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hi. I just wanted to call about Eric and say, you know, not only did we lose a captain, and for sure a leader, you know, Buffalo, the city, could be losing a Walter, you know, Payton winner for so long, for many years for the team, and that's really sad. And I think the other thing that I was talking about is that, you know, here we are finally breaking through, getting into the playoffs, feeling like the team's moving forward, and this just seems like one of those things that's like, darn, here's another hole to fill. And I have faith in where the leadership is and that they can find a new player, but it's just sad to hear this news after such a high.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that. I mean, it's kind of – I don't mean to be callous. You're speaking a lot about it today. This is the NFL. Players get hurt. Players come and go, and it's hard sometimes and sometimes not so hard, but this is what happens in the NFL, you know, and it can be sad like today, I think.
It can be. And – I mean, this is a career-ending neck injury, and it's sad because Eric Wood has been here for so long. But just think about as we all talk about Eric Wood, and everybody's sad because he's so instrumental in the city, and he's been huge, a big leader in the locker room, a big-time part of their success on the field, especially in that run game. Think about how many players have come and gone here because of an injury of some sort.
I think about Aaron Williams a lot.
Yeah.
You know how I get fired up when people talk about Jarvis Landry?
As you threw some shade yesterday.
He directly pushed Aaron Williams to the end of his career. And Aaron Williams was, you know, half as experienced as Eric Wood, but I think he had a bright future. Mm-hmm. I think Aaron Williams was a really good player. I think about that a lot. I get sad about that. I get angry about that because of the way it happened, too.
Yeah, yeah. And at the same time, players, and it was tough what Jarvis Landry did there. I mean, that was horrible. Players will tell you this: I know what I signed up for.
Yeah, I know.
I got and I'm that play right there. I didn't sign up for that. I didn't sign up for a cheap shot for you to end my career like that. Eric Wood, I'm not sure exactly when this happened to him, but he would probably, as upset as he is, one day he's going to come to grips with, I knew what I was signing up for when I did it.
Adam Schefter reported that Wood's neck injury is partly due to wear and tear, but a source characterized it as a complicated medical situation. Now, Eric is likely to shed a little more light on that Monday, but I don't think he's going to go into detail about exactly what his situation is.
No.
But,
no,
I mean, you play 9 years, there is wear and tear on the neck, absolutely, with the banging that those guys do.
As a lineman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're banging every single play for 9 years. We always talk about this. Imagine getting in a car accident. I mean, how many plays do you get? Let's just say you go 70 plays.
Yeah.
For Eric Wood, he's a center. So he's hitting 70 times a game, 16 games a year. And then you can add the preseason games in there whenever he was in there. You can add practice in there. You're in that many car accidents every single day for 9 years. That is a lot on your body. So, yeah, wear and tear will. And right there on the head, right there on the neck area for a lineman. So it's tough. But like I just said, you know what you sign up for when you sign up for it. I'm just – and I will continue to say this. I am glad that – and I don't know what he feels in terms of pain, but I am glad that he is able to walk away from the game and still be able to walk, period.
Yeah. Here is Charlie in Buffalo. Welcome, Charlie. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, John.
Hi.
God bless you both.
Thank you.
First and foremost, God bless Eric Woods and his family. And he will make a good announcer on TV. But second off, I want to make this one comment. Right now, the Buffalo Bills are in a good position. We have the right coach. We have the right general manager, Mr. Bean. And we have the right owner. And I believe we're going to go back to the Marv Levy-type era where we don't go for position. We will be going for the best player available. Hmm. And then build from there. Your comments, gentlemen, if you please.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember. Most coaches and GMs will tell you they like to draft the best player available, the best player on the board. I think it's kind of hard when you're in that position and you have holes on your team that you need to truly fill. And you can get premium talent to fill that hole. It's hard when you get into the draft. They will always say it's the best player on the board. But we saw from this regime last year, they had like three or four of the best players still on the board there at number 10, and they traded back for various reasons. And they still got a very good player in Tre'Davious White. But I think they'll say that, but it's hard to pass up, oh, we have a need at, let's just say, defensive tackle, and we're going to take this left tackle or something like that when you truly have a need at defensive tackle, because that's the best left tackle on the board. Well, you already have a left tackle. So it's kind of hard, and that's why we always talk about how hard it is. I'm glad I don't have to be in the room drafting guys.
It's hard to do well. Here's a really good tweet from Bills Bus Jake. Great to root for my team and also be able to point to my players with my children and say, quote, you could be like him. He does it right. That man's a class act. As a Bills fan, the tweet goes on, I've been honored to have players like Freddie, Kyle, Brian Mormon, and Eric to point to. Really good tweet. Really good sentiment, yeah. Too. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll talk more about Eric Wood with you. The phone line's open, 803-0550, the number, or toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. We'll take a brief hiatus, talk a little bit about the Super Bowl and last weekend's championship games as well. So come on back. We've got two more hours to go. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. Bills center Eric Wood is going to be forced to retire because of a neck injury. He made the announcement just public just about an hour ago. Says he was diagnosed with a neck injury as part of his season-ending physical, consulted with Bills doctors and other doctors, was told that he is no longer cleared to play football, even with surgery or further treatment. Wood went on to thank Bills fans for their thoughts, concerns, and prayers, and says he'll shed more light on the situation at a news conference here at One Bills Drive on Monday. Eric Wood, after 9 years with the Buffalo Bills, former first-round draft pick, forced to retire because of a neck injury. The Super Bowl team's Tom Brady was limited in practice yesterday with 10 days to go until Super Bowl 52. That cut on his right hand, which seemed to have little effect on his performance in the championship game against Jacksonville, continuing to heal. Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski did not practice at all. He remains in concussion protocol. For the Eagles, running back Jay Ajayi listed as a limited participant in yesterday's practice because of an ailment. The team did not practice earlier this week, and he was a full participant in Wednesday's practice. New Arizona Cardinals head coach Steve Wilks, a defensive-minded coach, has hired Mike McCoy to run his offense in Arizona. McCoy and the team working on a deal this week to make him the new offensive coordinator there. Buffalo Sabres suddenly hot. Robin Leonard, 30 saves for his second straight shutout as the Sabres swept their three-game road trip. Last night, a 4-0 win over the Vancouver Canucks in Vancouver. Sabres winning three games in a row for the first time this season, and now they hit the All-Star break. An opportunity for Sabres players to take a break and think about how they managed to win three in a row. Their next game, next Tuesday, home against New Jersey. And Jack Eichel will participate in the All-Star game in Tampa this weekend. And the UB Bulls, red hot, go for their ninth straight win tonight. Look to build on their school record start to league play. The Bulls have won seven straight games in the Mid-American Conference, the most since they won eight in a row during the 2011-2012 season. They're at Ohio University, 6:30 tip-off, the game on CBS Sports Network tonight. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, coming to you from our One Buffalo studio. Eric Wood News front and center today with the Bills veteran center announcing his retirement. But we are going to take a break here to talk a little bit about the championship games and a little bit about Eric Wood with our regular Friday 1 p.m. guest. He is an analyst and producer of NFL Matchup on ESPN, longtime senior producer for NFL Films. Greg Cosell on the line with us. Hi, Greg. John Murphy and Donald here. Thanks for joining us.
Gentlemen, good to be with you guys.
It's great to be with you. The news here, obviously, all about Eric Wood, and I know you do extensive film study. Tough to speak about centers, but do you have any impressions about Eric Wood or even this Buffalo Bills offensive line in general that you think is pertinent today?
I always thought Eric Wood was a really good player, just one of those guys that's consistent week in and week out. You know, we've talked before about the O-line overall. You know, I've always thought it's a solid O-line. I thought by NFL standards, they could probably upgrade the athleticism a little bit across the board. I don't know if that's something they'll look at. It's clearly the past year, certainly in Sean's first year, was a run-first team. And, you know, the O-line, I mean, they had some good games and some other games where I think they struggled a little bit. But in today's NFL, I think you really like your O-line to be athletic and not just grinders. I mean, they're really – a guy like Richie Incognito, I mean, he's obviously a tempo setter with his physicality and his competitiveness and his toughness, and he's been doing it a long time at a pretty good level. But overall, I think they'd probably feel, too, that they'd like to get a little more athletic across the board.
Hey, Greg, you do a lot of film work. A lot of film work over the years.
I'm starting to watch College Guys, Donald. You know, it's that time of year.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good. You can break some guys down for us here in the next couple of weeks. But when you're breaking down offensive line, see, I think that the center position might be the most underappreciated position in football, or one of the most, if not the most, underappreciated.
I agree.
How important is it when you watch different lines throughout the league or you've had a chance to talk to different centers, how important is that position?
Well, the center in particular, in most offenses, the center will be responsible for making adjustments before the ball is snapped. And that is so critical. That's why sometimes it's hard when you're studying tape to know exactly what a protection call is, because an adjustment could be made, you know, 4 seconds before the ball is snapped by the center yelling out, you know, whatever the adjustment is. But I think centers are absolutely critical in today's NFL. And I think that, you know, they set the tone very often mentally, because to me, the offensive line, and again, I made the point about athleticism, you don't have to have 5 thoroughbreds, but I think the cohesion of a unit is so critical. And it's true in the run game. Very often the run game is harder to do well consistently than pass protection. And you know, I think the center is so critical to that part of it.
Last thing on Wood and the Bills that I have for you, Greg. You know, the Bills haven't rewritten NFL history here, but they have the running game been number one in the league 2 straight years and then number 6 in the league this past year. What does that say about offensive line play here, and how have they managed to do that?
Well, I mean, again, this is a great discussion, and I've had this discussion with a lot of people. It's the balance between an O-line and a back. There are some people I've talked to over the years who believe that the back makes the run game. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people I've talked to that believe the O-line makes the run game. And I'm talking about people in the NFL, coaches. So obviously there's varying points of view, and it just depends on where you fall on that. I mean, obviously, LeSean McCoy, to me, is a great, great back who has the ability to work both on the perimeter and really effectively in confined space with his lateral agility and explosiveness. So even though he's not a 225-pound power back, his lateral agility is so great. It's among the best in the league that very often he can make a run that's blocked for 2. He can get 5 or he can get 12. So I think there's always a balance between that, and different people have different points of view.
We're with Greg Cosell, analyst and executive producer of NFL Matchup on ESPN, senior producer for NFL Films. Let's turn our attention to last week's games, last week's matchups, if you will, Greg. And in particular, you're talking about a running game, and I started to flashback a little bit to the way the Jacksonville Jaguars were able to run the football against New England. Really kept them in the game in the first half and almost won the game for them. What did you see of Jacksonville? What did they do so well against the Patriots?
Well, you know, it's funny. They have a specific profile, as you guys know, the way they play. I thought they ran the ball reasonably effectively, not great. One thing I thought they did really, really well was use what we call RPOs, run-pass options, to keep the Patriots' defense a little bit off balance, because RPOs, where you have the option of handing it to the back or throwing a one-read, low-risk pass, which is what you want to do with Bortles, theoretically you're not wrong. If the quarterback makes the right decision based on what he sees defensively, which is usually a numbers count or the position of a particular defender, then you really can't be wrong and you're not going to get a negative play. And I thought they did that really, really well using Grant, the explosive back, on some plays. They had a nice 4-net run that came off an RPO. They did that really effectively against New England. And it's probably something to look for in the Super Bowl, because the Eagles have been very effective with that concept as well with Nick Foles.
Now, when you look at the Jacksonville game, the first half just seemed to be so different than the second half. Did the Patriots do something totally different on the defensive side of the ball, or did the Jaguars do something different on the offensive side of the ball from the first half to the second half?
Well, you know, I think the way the game was played, Donald, the Jaguars settled into what they are. That they're, if they get a lead, they're going to be conservative, they're going to run the ball, and they're going to play to their defense. The problem for them was is their defense, quite honestly, wasn't good enough. They're a team that relies primarily on a four-man pass rush to get pressure, which they've done very well throughout the course of the season, and they play predominantly zone coverage. It's either cover three or quarters. So that's the way they played. That's what they stuck to pretty much most of the second half until the fourth quarter a bit when they tried to change up a little. But here's what happened. They couldn't get consistent pressure on Brady. So if you don't get consistent pressure on Brady, then what happens if you're playing zone is there's voids in the zone, Donald, as you know. And if the quarterback has too much time, because zone coverages are not meant to be successful for 3 or more seconds. They're really only meant to be successful for less than that. Then the pass rush has to get there. And the pass rush was not getting there.
What chance do the Eagles, I don't think traditionally a blitzing team, have to get much pressure and put the, you know, put the clock on Tom Brady? You know, does Jim Schwartz, does he have to look to dial up more pressure, do you think, this kind
of week? Well, they're very selective with their use of pressure. They're not a high-percentage blitz team, but Jim Schwartz will bring it on occasion. That will be based on down, distance, field location, all those things that factor in. I personally think that the Eagles' front is a better pass rush front than Jacksonville, so we'll see how that plays out, and we'll see. And the Eagles in coverage play, they're a predominant single high safety defense, Murph, and so cover one is the man version of that. Cover three is the zone version of that. We'll see what they do. I think when they go to their sub package, they'll play six defensive backs to make sure they can get both a safety on Gronk and a safety on the back, usually James White, if they're choosing to play man.
Now, we all know about Jacksonville, especially we know them here all too well. We know that they are limited in the passing game, and they do rely on that running game. Like you said, they want to get a lead and then play to their defense, just run the ball. They weren't able to really run the ball that effectively against the Patriots. The Eagles, now, they can throw it a little bit with Nick Foles. And so what do you think of Nick Foles, and then what do you think of that run game, and how will the Patriots be able to stop them?
Well, a couple things. The Eagles are far more expansive in all areas than the Jaguars. While the Jaguars had a good run game, their run game is relatively static. They do the same kinds of things all the time. Mm-hmm. The Eagles have a really multiple run game. There are weeks I chart the Eagles' runs, and I get up to 11 or 12 different kinds of runs. And in the pass game, there's no comparison whatsoever between the Eagles and the Jaguars. The Eagles are far more expansive in all their concepts. So this is a totally different deal for New England in what they're facing. It doesn't mean they're not going to stop it to some degree, but it's just a whole different deal. So the Eagles, you know, they're a really multiple offense, both with run and pass.
The closer we approach to the game next week, Greg, the more I keep hearing about the Eagles offense and what Doug Peterson has done there. You're right there in the middle of Eagles country. What have you seen? What difference has he made? What's his style as an offensive coordinator, would you say?
Well, I would say that he tends to be aggressive, which doesn't mean he just throws the ball, but he's aggressive in his mindset. He's very multiple. As I said, you could watch their run game and chart it, and you'd come up with a lot of different kinds of runs from different personnel packages. It's a difficult run game to defend. The pass game, it's very similar in some ways, at least conceptually, to what the Chiefs do, because Doug, that's his background with Andy Reid, but there's a lot to it. And again, a lot of formation variation. They have clear defined concepts that they get to in different ways with different looks and different personnel. So the plays end up being the same, but the entire look is different. And that puts a burden on a defense. Now, the Patriot defense, and you guys know the Patriot defense, if you had to define them, you'd say they're built on front multiplicity and coverage stability. They play a ton of man coverage.
How much, if at all, have Peterson, Frank Reich, the whole Eagles organization had to adjust or you know, maybe throttle back a little bit offensively when they had the quarterback transition from Wentz to Nick Foles, what, 3/4 of the way into the season?
Well, without knowing exactly how they game plan, I would say they haven't throttled back much at all. I think their offense looks very similar. And look, Nick Foles is not Carson Wentz, although he looked very much like him in the NFC Championship game. Nick made plays outside of structure or very late in the down within the pocket that has not really been part of his track record. So that's why they were able to do what they did. There were a number of plays where within the timing of the down, the Vikings won the down, but Foles extended the play and made throws. The long touchdown to Jeffrey was not even part of the initial read. It was a left side read, a three-level stretch or right. flood concept, as we call it, and Jeffrey was on the backside. But Nick was able to hang in the pocket and move around, navigate, you know, the pocket and find a quieter spot to deliver the ball and made a great throw. It was a total adjustment both by Foles and by Jeffrey.
Greg, we always talk about this, and we're talking about the Patriots, and Bill Belichick is one of the best, if not the best, at taking away what you do best or exploiting what you don't do well.
Correct.
So what do you think they will try to exploit with the Eagles? What do they not do well?
You're talking about their defense against the
yes.
Eagles,
though? Yes.
Well, I think Belichick will play their run fairly straightforward. They're very multiple with their front looks, so I think they'll play it relatively straightforward. But I think what Belichick does so, so well, as you guys know, is situational football. So I think on third down, red zone, because Bill's not interested in yards given up. He's interested in preventing points.
Right.
They're in the top five defensively in points allowed, but they're not very good in yards allowed. And I think on third down, to me, it'll be Zach Ertz. I think he'll double Zach Ertz on third down. And again, that doesn't mean every third down, but I think he would be the focus, and I think he would be the focus in the red zone as well. It wouldn't surprise me in the red zone if they double Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey.
Hey, Greg, how many Super Bowls have you covered? I'm guessing at least 20, right? 25, 30 maybe?
Well, you know, it's funny. Someone asked me that last night, how many I've been to, yeah. you know, let's say consecutively. I think I've been consecutively since 1992.
Okay. Here's my question in regards to that. Over the years, and that's, you know, 25 years, I guess, have you learned that things can change during the course of Super Bowl week itself, especially in what you do, looking at matchups and how
yes.
these teams match up? What could happen next week that might alter your view of this game?
Well, I think you always see a few different things because they have 2 weeks to prepare, and, you know, they bring in all their scouts. Everybody in the organization comes in and does work. So will a team totally change who they are? No, but I can't give you a precise example, you know, just from past games, but there's usually something a little different that you see based on more extensive film study that the teams are able to do.
And you see it in the game, not necessarily the run-up to the game.
I usually notice it when I'm watching the tape after I come back. It's hard for
yeah.
me because fortunately, what's fun for me is I'm able to go to the game as a fan, so I'm not sitting there, you know, taking notes. I'm enjoying the game like a fan.
Yeah.
Are you, like, in a press box? Are you up in the nosebleed seats?
What type of ticket you got, man? I don't know. I'll be able to pick them up when I get to Minneapolis, where it's going to be a little frigid, by the way. But you guys are used to that stuff.
Yeah. Sounds like you want to buy seats from them.
I was just wondering if you stay in that that Marriott room that's right down there on the field. I saw a picture of.
No. Donald, I'm not that important.
Well, we got our man Steve Tasker out there next week going to cover this game for us, and I think he's looking to get together with you maybe late in the week out there, Greg, so I hope you got a couple of minutes to do that with us.
Oh, well, just, hey, that'd be great. Yeah, I talked
great.
To Steve actually a number of years ago. I don't know if he remembers when I did the book with Jaworski, and we spent a lot of time talking about the K-gun back in the day,
yeah.
So I'd love to get together with Steve.
All right, he'll look for you out there in Minneapolis. Thanks for this, Greg. We appreciate it.
All right, guys, really appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, Greg Cosell, the executive producer, analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN. You can see that on ESPN over the weekend. Senior producer for NFL Films for 38 years. Yeah, I just wondered, you know, the thing about Super Bowl, Donald, with 2 week run-up, there's so much written about it, said about it. You know, are we already at the Greg stuff is great, but does it change between now and next Friday? I don't know. I don't know what would. You've got a 16-book story of each of these teams plus
yeah.
playoff games. What are they? I'm sure they're going to have a few wrinkles, but are they really going to change their character going into this game? Likely not, right?
I don't think so. I think coaches like to do what they do best. You might see a couple of different wrinkles that they might not even use. They might go over some things in practice and not even use them. You do get 2 weeks to prepare for this game, so you're going to know everything about this team. That extra week is very crucial in terms of preparation for the game. You're going to know everything about the other team, and you're going to say, man, we could do something against this play, or we could do something in coverage to stop this play. But for the most part, you stick to what you've been doing all year. You start changing things, and we talk about this with Coach McDermott. You start changing things, the players don't like it.
Yes.
Everybody's and coaches don't like it. They're all creatures of habit. They all are process-oriented, detail-oriented, routine-oriented type of people. And you start to change that up, and they feel like something is off. So we want to just do what we do best. I don't care if it's a Super Bowl. I don't care if it's a preseason game. Let's do what we do best.
Super Bowl is a week from this Sunday, and as I said, our man Steve Tasker is going to be there reporting live from Minneapolis. We'll have his reports on the air next week here on the show. He'll be interviewing some of our regular guests like Greg Cosell, you would think, and I hope he gets a chance to sit down with Trey Wingo and some of the others. Steve Tasker, also going to see who's out there at the Super Bowl next week here on the show, the John Murphy Show. The Super Bowl next week starting Tuesday. All right, you know the word about Eric Wood. We want to continue our discussion with that. The Bills' 31-year-old, 9-year veteran center announcing today that he's been diagnosed with a neck injury. And after it came about as at his season-ending physical with the Bills, Wood tweeted this out today. I was diagnosed with a neck injury as part of my season-ending physical with the Bills. After consulting with Dr. Cappuccino and other physicians, I was informed that I was no longer cleared to play football, even with surgery or further treatment. Wood went on to say, I appreciate and thank everyone for their thoughts. I will shed more light on the situation at a press conference Monday here at One Bills Drive. Let's talk about that. Phone lines are going to be open when we return. 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Eric Wood forced to retire because of a knee injury. What do you think of that? What has he meant to you all these many years?
The neck injury.
What did I say? Back?
Knee.
Neck injury. I said knee?
Yeah.
Neck. N-E-C-K. Neck injury. We'll get back and talk about that in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. We're kind of making it up as we go along here. Hey, we'd love to talk with you about the news of the day. Eric Wood, Bills center, 9-year veteran, forced to retire because of a neck injury. He will hold a news conference here at One Bills Drive on Monday at 1 p.m. Of course, we'll carry it live. Maybe we'll even get Eric in studio with us on Monday. Your thoughts on that, your reaction to that, give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We didn't do the player. No, I saw him.
A couple.
Okay. We didn't do any of them?
I don't know.
Well, let's do them. I'm sorry? Let's do them. Bill's player reaction to the news about Eric Wood. It's coming in via Twitter, which is where everything comes in so far. Mm-hmm. Here's what Bill's players have to say so far about the news that Eric Wood has been forced to retire. Veteran linebacker Preston Brown just says simply praying for E. Wood, number 70. I think that's kind of a sentiment, just praying for him. Zay Jones, rookie, deeply saddened by this news. Cannot say enough positive things about Eric Wood. Prayers sent your way, brother. Much love to you and your family. That from Zay Jones
brother,
on Twitter.
Brother.
Shaq Lawson, young veteran. My brother. My brother.
Brother, he said.
My brother, Eric Wood. I love you, bro. Praying for you. That's what Shaq Lawson had to say. C.J. Spiller. Yeah. Praying for you, Eric Wood. Was a great honor to play with you, man, but even better honor to call you as a friend. Leave it to CJ to come up with something like that. He's the best. Patrick DeMarco, fullback. Thinking and praying for my guy, Eric Wood. Such a great competitor and leader.
Those two, Patrick DeMarco and Eric Wood, have to be on the same page. As we were talking to Greg about how important a center is to an offense, you think about the relationship between the fullback and the center, because the center is getting everybody where they're supposed to go in terms of blocking assignments. The fullback has to pay attention to where the line is going because he has to know who he's picking up so that LeSean can just read off of everybody and go where he needs to go. Eric Wood is a big part of that offensive line, And you can throw out different names that can possibly replace him on there, and we'll see which way they would go with that. My thought process would be a Ryan Groy. Mm-hmm. As a possibility, and we'll see which way that they will go with that. But he was a huge part of that offensive line, not just for leadership, but getting everybody in the right direction.
Reaction coming in from the Pro Bowl as well, where Eric Wood's teammate, maybe his closest teammate on the team, right, Richie?
Yeah,
you'd have to say. The two of them virtually inseparable during the course of the season when they're here. But Richie's at the the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama, and our man Mike Adamek down there covering the Senior Bowl just got some reaction momentarily, a moment ago, rather, from Richie Incognito about the Eric Wood news.
Huge loss today for the Bills organization. Eric's a special guy. He's been in Buffalo his entire career. He's been a great friend to me, great teammate, great leader, a guy that I really leaned on a lot when I first got back in the league. It's really a sad day.
You go back with him quite a ways. It's one of the reasons that you came back to Buffalo. Can you just talk about him as a person, what he meant to you in your career?
Yeah, he's had a lot to do with my career, especially lately in Buffalo. When I found out I was going to go for the interview with the Pegulas, E. Wood was one of the first person I told. But yeah, he's been instrumental in me coming back in the league and reestablishing myself. You know, E. Wood provided that friendly face in the locker room and that kind of cover for me to be myself. And he's really instrumental in all my success I've had the last couple of years, just having a buddy to talk to. I really can't say enough good things about him. He's just he's a great teammate. He's a great leader. He's a great person. I think he's done great with his platform, you know, as being an athlete and trying to help people. So, yeah.
And he's meant so much off the field as well. He's done so much charity in Buffalo. Can you talk about what he's meant to the community there?
Yeah, he's meant a lot to the community. You know, he's Buffalo through and through. And since he's got there, he's tried to help as many people as he can in the community in Buffalo and in Louisville and all over. You know, he's got such a big heart, and he really does well to help people.
Have you talked to him at all? How's he doing?
Yeah, I've been in contact with him. As always, he's been positive about it. And that's all I'll say about that. You know, we have been in contact, and typical E. Wood, he's putting his positive spin on it already.
Richie Incognito at the Pro Bowl talking about his teammate Eric Wood. And wonder, you know, is Richie, and Richie can be pretty reflective, when he looks back at why things worked out in his second chance, a huge second chance here in Buffalo with the Bills, now, 3 years old, he's been back here 3 years. You wonder how much credit for that he would give to Eric Wood? I bet a lot. You know, as far as welcoming him back to the Bills, Richie had the short stint earlier, providing a familiar face on the roster, a guy that he's going to play next to. Mm-hmm. I would think Richie, I'm not going to speak for Richie, but I would think he would throw a lot of credit at Eric Wood for the success of his rebirth of his career.
The biggest thing is, and so many fans really just get caught up in the play on the field. And, man, Eric and Richie have played next to each other. That's going to be a big loss for Richie, as now he's going to have to learn how to play next to another guy, whoever that might be. He's going to have to take direction from another guy, and it's going to be a different style, whoever is playing that's giving that direction. And everybody just likes to think about the on-the-field stuff, but it's really a lot of off-the-field stuff as well. When you have a guy like an Eric Wood who's been so instrumental throughout the community, a guy who is a true leader in the locker room, a guy that a lot of players are on a team look up to, and you're a guy like Richie Incognito who's had his issues in his past, and now you're getting a second opportunity, and now you get to talk to somebody, you know, and I'm sure Eric Wood was a guy who he talked to on a regular basis about different things, about life, and it's so much bigger than just football. I had to talk to different guys, whether it was Stevie, whether it was Lee Evans, George Wilson, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, you talk to different people on your team about different things that you're going through, and they are instrumental in your success, because if you're not a happy person off the field, if you're dealing with stuff off the field, you're not going to be successful on the field because you can't focus. And so I'm sure Eric Wood helped Richie be able to focus on just football. You got your second chance now.
Yeah.
Let's put all that stuff behind.
Yeah, and a huge second chance. I mean, that was a serious misstep by Richie Incognito that basically got him booted out of the league for a year and a half. And to have a familiar face here in Buffalo, Eric Wood, who we played with a little bit, you know, in his first go around here in Buffalo, and guy who's such so rock solid, and a guy who gets this community in Eric Wood, a guy who understands what they're trying to do, and a true leader. To have him playing alongside of you, I think their lockers were next to each other for the most part while they were here. Times I checked, the practice lockers here in the locker room.
Might have split them up this year.
Yeah, maybe. That had to be critical for Richie Incognito's success in the rebirth of his career here in Buffalo.
So I run an after-school program, right? So sometimes I had to split up kids because they're always together talking. Like, hey, man, you go line up over there.
Yeah.
You go line up on that side. so that I can split y'all up. Coach McDermott had to split those two guys up.
You
guys are talking
ping
too much.
Pong and
let's split them up.
But Eric Wood now, and that's a part of, you know, we can talk about what they've lost, you know, all the snaps, all the steady play in the middle at center, but that leadership component, that chemistry component, the fact that for those guys on offense, you know, who's your leader on offense? Most fingers, I think, would point towards Eric Wood and Tyrod Taylor in that Buffalo locker room, right? Who do you guys look to for leadership on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I would think
Tyrod and Eric Wood, I would think.
Tyrod, right? Eric Wood, maybe even a guy like Shady.
Yeah.
You look to those guys because those guys are the ones, number one, the biggest names on the offense, but number two, they have shown that they are leaders through work, through being in the community, through just life. Guys that have families, guys that have children, married, all of that stuff. And so when you're a young guy, you do look to those guys on the offense. Eric Wood is going to be a big loss for that offense. He's going to be a big loss for a guy like Deion, who
yeah.
Deion might have talked to Eric about a lot of different things. Hey, man, I'm a second-round pick. I'm a high draft pick just like you were. How do I deal with these different things that I'm going through? Now I have to step in and be a starter right away. How do I deal with these different things? I might have endorsement stuff. I might have different things going on back home. How do I deal with this stuff all at one time? After a game, I got 300 text messages on my phone. I mean, should I get upset with family? Should they be upset with me because I can't get back to all of them? These are the types of things that you have to deal with as a player, and you need for a guy like Eric Wood, who's been doing it for 9 years, to be able to tell you none of that stuff matters. No, it matters, but but you can't get back to everybody. So you can't really worry about it right now. Or you got to be able to get out in the community and do this stuff. You can do it. It's all about time management. You have to make sure that you know your plays and what you're supposed to do first. Then you can get out there in the community. These are the types of things that leaders like Eric Wood bring to the team, and this is going to be a big loss.
803-0550, the number to call with your thoughts on Eric Wood. His announcement today, he has to retire, forced to retire because of a neck injury that was discovered in a postseason physical, season-ending physical. So what you think about that? It is a loss, and it's more than just, all right, let's plug in another center here and go on and play. No, I think it's much more than that because of the intangible stuff that we've been talking about. And we'd like to hear your thoughts on that. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Wood with the tweet today to talk about it, but we will also hear from Eric Wood 1 o'clock on Monday when he holds a news conference, and Bills general manager Brandon Bean and head coach Sean McDermott will speak that day as well. We got a call on the line from Larry in Topeka, Kansas. Go ahead, Larry. You're on the air with us.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you, Larry.
I just wanted to chime in. I am a lifelong Buffalo Bills fan, born and raised in Buffalo, and having made my career now, and I live in Topeka, I was devastated by the news. I tweeted out to Eric, "You are a great football player, but even more, a great man, and forever and always a Buffalo Bill and a Bills Mafia." I hope he stays in the area. I certainly hope his foundation proliferates because of all the good that he's meant as a man, as a leader. And I just can't say enough about him. Folks like Kyle Williams, you know, Shady, Tyrod, the leaders of this team, he will always be with us. I can't wait to see his name up on the Wall of Fame.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Larry.
You know, he brought up his foundation, and I just got this tweet in, and I've been seeing this since Eric Wood actually made his statement. I've seen a couple of tweets on his foundation. Tony DeChristopher said, "Good thing we re-signed Groy." He said, "I love Eric Wood, just donated to his foundation." I've seen a few fans say, "I just donated to his foundation." It just goes to show how much he's loved here in this community, how big he was in the community, and really how good the fans are here to the players.
Yeah, I mean, it started, right? I mean, and probably and almost unbelievably with all the donations to Andy Dalton's foundation mm-hmm. after the Bills got into the playoffs thanks to the Bengals. And it's almost like a trend almost in the NFL now.
Seen it around the league,
all around
yeah.
the league. It's incredible. And it's a great way to show support. I mean, yeah, we were laughing. We were laughing about thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. Okay, you tweet out thoughts and prayers. Great, that's nice. Well, how about doing something concrete? Why not do something concrete? And donating to you know, somebody's foundation is the perfect way to make a mark. Like, this is how much is. We thought of you, Eric Wood, or this is how much we how much gratitude we have for you, Andy Dalton, or whoever it is. You know,
right, exactly. And the caller said, I hope that he stays around. I'm not sure if he'll stay around and live here, but you can best believe Eric Wood is going to be around. He's not going to just, even if he decides to go back to Louisville, where he's from, he's not going to just never come back to Buffalo. He's the type of guy I think that would continuously be here. I would think his foundation is going to continue to go. He'd probably have events for his foundation here like he's been having as a player. He's that type of dude. He's a great guy, you know, so I expect to still see him around the city.
We have lines open if you care to chime in. Your thoughts on Eric Wood, his career-ending neck injury, coming up at 2:30 today. We're going to be talking with Brian Daboll. He'll be live in studio with us, the new offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. In the meantime, let's hear from you. 803-0550, toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Eric Wood's retirement announcement. What do you think? Give us a call. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
So we've heard from Richie Incognito, and some of the Bills have tweeted out their thoughts on Eric Wood. What do you think? 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Bill Center. Eric Wood announcing today that he's been forced to retire because of a knee injury. He will be here Monday, 1 o'clock news conference. We'll carry it live with Coach Sean McDermott and General Manager Brandon Bean. Eric Wood forced to retire. Eventually, and, you know, as usual, we get ahead of ourselves a little bit, but most smart Bills fans would start to think, okay, what does that leave us with? It leaves you with, I would think, at first anyway, the first option might be Ryan Groy, a veteran who had a good year a couple of years ago, filling in at a couple of different spots on the offensive line, and got a new contract a year ago. You know, the Bills matched an offer sheet. I think he at least is the obvious. He played 9 games for Eric Wood in 2016.
Yeah, Eric Wood got hurt in that Seattle game.
Yeah.
When he broke his leg, and Groy stepped in and did a good job, and you didn't really hear much about him. And I think that was a part of the reason why they brought him back when they had to match that offer sheet. I think that it was by the Rams. They had to match that offer sheet and brought him back for just in case somebody went down. And didn't he step in a couple times this year? Just randomly, if Richie went down or something like that.
Yeah, he played a lot as the you know, the extra tight end or, you know, extra blocker.
And that's Coach McDermott is a guy who, I mean, he's talked about are versatile players. I want guys on this team that play special teams who are versatile, can play a bunch of different positions. Ryan Groy is a guy who can play a bunch of different positions. He's played almost seemingly every position on the offensive line, and you can throw in tight end in there as he's caught. So I think he caught some passes in college.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at it and say that he would be the number one candidate, and we'll see if they bring somebody in via free agency or if they draft one. But I would think Groy would be a guy who you could step in, you could put him in, and you wouldn't really lose much of anything. He might have to learn a lot about playing safety on a regular – not even a lot about it, but he'd have to learn, number one, the new system and checks and all of that stuff with the rest of the guys. But I would think he would be the first guy you would think to step in.
Some of the biggest things they would lose, it seems to me, at first blush here, some of the biggest things would be what we talked about a moment ago, the intangibles, the chemistry component, the leadership, the veteran leadership. That's hard to replace, you know, no matter how who you have waiting in the wings. You know, a guy, Eric Wood, with his 9 years here, was a guy that people looked at for that sort of leadership and chemistry, and I think that would be very difficult to replace.
It's going to be difficult to replace because of, number one, he hasn't been there. Eric Wood has been the guy for so long. So it's going to be difficult to replace just because of that reason alone. But then you add, you might have a couple of new offensive linemen. We'll see how that plays out. You might have a new quarterback. And so you might have a total, like the two guys in the middle who are handling the ball on every play, the guys that have to actually make all the checks and do all of that stuff might be two totally different guys this year. Well, they will be. Well, I don't know about the quarterback situation, but at least the center position is going to be totally different. So it's going to be a different offense, and everybody around those guys are going to have to get used to the new center. If it's going to be a new quarterback, those two guys actually making the checks, and it's going to take some getting used to.
We've said it a couple of times since in the 2.5-3 weeks since the season ended. You know, add it to the list.
Yeah.
Add this to the list of potential needs, free agency or through the draft. Yeah, you're right. It's unexpected. I think anyone going through a checklist, okay, what are the Bills' needs? Maybe you put offensive line on there, but most people would have said right side of the offensive line,
right?
Either guard or tackle, need some help there. Well, now you add this at least to a consideration, right, of the list. Yeah, Groy's there, but you can't ignore the fact that there's been a pretty sizable hole carved out of your lineup and certainly out of your depth with the departure, the retirement of Eric Wood.
And it was crazy when the Bills actually matched that offer sheet and did a good job of bringing Groy back here. And I remember fans actually calling up and saying, especially when he wasn't playing, it was like, you brought this guy back. Why is he not playing? Well, we always talk about coaches not making decisions in a vacuum, coaches actually thinking about the big picture of everything. And they make decisions like that. Okay, do we want to match this? We might need a Ryan Groy in the future. Next year, the year after that, who knows? And if we can get him, who's a good offensive lineman, still at a low price, then we might as well bring him back and have a good backup in the wings just in case.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's going to be the one to step in, but this is why coaches think the way they do, and they always have to think about the big picture and make sometimes long-term decisions on bringing guys back or not bringing guys back, you know, because you never know when something like this is going to pop up. I remember talking when Coach McDermott was first hired, and we talked about he was saying a lot of the right things, and it was like, there are going to be some things that will come up throughout the course of his coaching tenure that he's not used to as a head coach. You can put this now in that bucket. This is something that has come up that he wasn't expecting. When he went – and now, when they had the whole physicals at the end of the year, I'm sure the trainers came back and talked to him and said, we see something, and Eric, he's probably going to go see another doctor. We see something. You might want to think about this when you're going down to the Senior Bowl and all of that stuff. But this is not – what you'd expect after your season when you're evaluating your team, but this is a part of it. And this is why they do those season-ending physicals and evaluations and all of that stuff. The medical is a big piece of that. And this is why you make long-term decisions, big-picture decisions, and not just, oh, we like this guy, we should bring him back right now.
Right. And it's hard. It's hard to keep up. And this, you would think, you know, they get to their you know, season-ending meetings, and, you know, you probably didn't even have the physical results in front of them,
right.
Dean and the coaching staff or the offensive line staff thinking, let's talk about this, Eric, right? I mean, this is two and a half weeks ago. They probably didn't even have their medical report back
then.
They
didn't. I mean, you think about throughout the entire course of the season, Brandon Bean, his job is to evaluate the team every day and think about, okay, we have a hole here. We have a hole here we're going to need to fill. We don't know what's going to happen in free agency, but we have at least a list of guys that we would like to bring back. So they kind of have a good picture of where they would like to go. And I'm talking about before the actual physicals. And then you're thinking about it that way. And then you get the physical result back, and you're sitting there probably as the trainers will come in, sit with the coaches and speak about the medical stuff. And that's like a total shock to them. Like, oh. We didn't expect that. Now we got to figure out what we're doing at the center position. So it's something that they're going to have to work through, but it's part of the process, like Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean always talk about.
Last year, Eric Wood with the injury at Seattle, Donald talked about, and I also think back to his rookie year. He was playing guard 2009. Were you here?
I wasn't.
You were not here.
2010.
Yeah, at Jacksonville. He was playing guard, broke two bones in his left leg, a compound fracture in his left leg in his rookie year. He had to stay behind. The Bills had to leave him in a Jacksonville hospital for a couple of days, and he had his rookie year cut short, came back and became the center, to my recollection, and never really left the lineup other than a couple of injuries down the line. But that was a rough way to start as a rookie, to have a compound fracture of his lower leg in a game at Jacksonville. I think he was pass blocking at the time, a gruesome injury. And he fought through that, came back, became the center, got into the starting lineup, and never really left for the most part.
Yeah, it's tough when you're a young player coming in, you're a rookie, and you're just trying to learn the league. You're just trying to learn your playbook. And then all of a sudden, and you're a high draft pick. When you're a high draft pick, there's a different level of pressure that's on you. And then all of a sudden, you get hurt, and you're out. And people will immediately call you a bust. Immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
They will immediately say, oh, this guy can't. He can't hang. He can't make it in this league. I mean, he's hurt already. You see it every year. Not just here, but around the league. When somebody gets hurt early in their rookie year, here we go. This guy won't be able to last in this league. He's hurt already. He's a pencil or something like that. Some crazy stuff that people say. But for him to be able to bounce back and take over the center position, go from guard to center, and then that must have been my rookie year.
Yeah,
and they moved him over to center. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then really stick as the center here for the rest of his career and become a very good player here. That's a good thing. It just shows that his mindset was, I'm going to bounce back from this, and I'm going to be better than ever.
Heck of a career, really, for Eric Wood, when you think about it.
Yeah.
9 years, one place, which says a lot. Mm-hmm. His partner, Andy Levitre, drafted in the same year, you know, obviously moved on to Tennessee and then to Atlanta.
Yep.
9 years, one place. Last 3 years, they've been in the top six in rushing, so that speaks to, you know, his production. And beyond that, it's the off-the-field stuff. First of all, in the locker room, the chemistry and cohesion and the fact that he was an acknowledged and recognized leader, and then in the community as well during those 9 years in Buffalo. That's quite a legacy he leaves behind as a Buffalo Bill.
You think about, and players do this, you think about it, players talk trash back and forth. And Andy Levitre would say to Eric Wood, hey, man, you know, it didn't work out for me in Buffalo, but at least I got to move on to Tennessee. I got paid down there. Then I moved on to Atlanta and got to the Super Bowl. And Eric, like, well, I played 9 years for the same team.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You go back and forth like that. I mean, he could – and you heard Richie say Eric is having a positive mindset about it. And I would think that he's definitely he's a positive guy, so he's probably putting that positive spin on it in his mind. But ultimately, it's something that he's going to have to deal with, not right now, but when next season comes around, it's going to be tough for him to deal with that.
Tough day for Bills fans. Eric Wood forced to retire because of a neck injury. We're going to talk more about that in the third and final hour of the show. We've also, and this has been scheduled for a while, Brian Daboll, the new offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, will join us in studio at 2:30, so make sure you stick around for that. But if you have comments, questions, messages, you'd like remembrances of Eric Wood you'd like to share with anybody, give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network, sports update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive. The news comes from Bills center Eric Wood, who was forced to retire because of a neck injury. I said knee earlier. My bad. It's a neck injury. Eric Wood issuing a statement today saying, quote, I was diagnosed with a neck injury as part of my season-ending physical with the Bills. After consultation with Dr. Andy Cappuccino and other physicians, I was informed that I was no longer cleared to play football, even with surgery or further treatment. Wood went on to say, I appreciate and thank everyone for their thoughts, concerns, and prayers. I will shed more light on my situation at a press conference on Monday at the team facility. Eric Wood, former first-round pick of the Bills in 2009, went to the Pro Bowl a couple of years ago, 2015. 120 career games started with the Buffalo Bills. Eric Wood, again, 1 o'clock news conference on Monday. Head coach Sean McDermott and GM Brandon Bean expected to be there as well, answering more questions about Eric Wood. And we'll carry that press conference live. Wood retiring, the news from the NFL, mostly about the Super Bowl today, with Tom Brady limited in practice yesterday with the thumb injury. Rob Gronkowski sat out yesterday, still in concussion protocol. The Patriots tight end did not practice as he continues to recover from his concussion. For the Philadelphia Eagles, running back Jay Ajayi was limited in practice yesterday with an ankle. He's been on the injury report a lot. The only other Eagles to pop up on their injury report yesterday, running back Kenyon Barner, who missed a workout with an illness, and linebacker Daniel Ellerbe, who practiced fully despite a hamstring injury. Arizona Cardinals new head coach Steve Wilks is ready to name his offensive coordinator Mike McCoy, who was the head coach of the Chargers from 2013 to 2016. The Buffalo Sabres have won 3 in a row. Robin Leonard with 30 saves for his second straight shutout last night as the Sabres swept their 3-game road trip with a victory over Vancouver 4-0. Also from the Sabres, defenseman Zach Bogosian will undergo hip surgery next week. He is expected to be ready for the start of training camp. And the UB Bulls take their 7-0 perfect record in the Mid-American Conference to Ohio University tonight, 6:30 tip-off at OU, that game on CBS Sports Network. The news here about Eric Wood, let's hear from you. The lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Wood with his statement, citing the neck injury that he had, not allowing him to continue. He mentioned that even with surgery or further treatment, you would think, Donald, and you have been in this situation before, and I'm curious as to how you handled it. In a situation like that, when somebody tells you your career is over, you go to other doctors, obviously, but you probably are tempted to push the envelope, right, to explore everything you can. Wait a minute. You're telling me there's no surgery, there's no treatment. Yeah. Is there any experimental thing I can do? I mean, wouldn't a player who, in Eric's case or your case, the prime of your career, wouldn't you want to push that as far as you could?
You do. You definitely want to push it as far as you could. I think for me, I was only going into my fourth year. I hadn't received, and the crazy thing is, I was negotiating a contract with the team. And so I still wanted to play. Now, Eric, he's played a lot now. So he might have come to grips with, I got 9 years in. I'm good with it. It doesn't – and for him, for me, it was kidney disease. For him, it's a neck that could truly hurt him on the field. For me, it was the same thing. Like, I could die out here on the field trying to play through some kidney disease.
Right.
So some guys want to push the envelope to the tip. And I was there. I mean, I was willing to play another year. But – it was easy for me to walk away from it. It truly was. Once it was like, you shouldn't do this anymore, it was like, you know what? All right, cool. Now, it hurt weeks and weeks in the next couple of years after, but it was easy for me to make that decision without trying to go to five different doctors and say, Doc, what do you think?
Well, how many doctors did you hear from? Did you need to hear from before you
I talked to a doctor here in Buffalo first. He was the first one to tell me, you might be able to play one more year. He was horrible with bedside manners too, but that's another story. and then I met with my doctor, who became my eventual doctor down in New York City, Dr. Gerald Appel, and he was like, "Look, you could probably play one more year as well." He was like, "I'd tell you that, but you just have to understand the risks that come with that if you're going to play one more year." And I have to thank the organization. I mean, I wouldn't have known anything about Dr. Appel. I wouldn't have been able to contact him if it wasn't for the organization. I don't know if the Bills did the same thing for Eric Wood, but they actually contacted the Miami Heat team doctors and Alonzo Mourning down there, who actually connected me with my doctor, because we have the same doctors, you know. So the Bills went long ways for me to be able to connect with my doctor, who is quote unquote one of the best doctors in the world at it. So, but like going back to it, it was easy once that decision came. It was like, oh, it's not worth it. And Eric Woods might be the same way.
Yeah. I would think you would, I mean, the team has a stake in this too, right? The team wants to protect its players to a certain extent, wants to protect their investment to a certain extent.
That.
And, the team probably doesn't want you to play if something really bad is going to happen, right? Heart of it?
I mean, the doctors don't want you – they're not going to put you out there if you can truly hurt yourself on the field. They're not going to put you out there if you can – I mean, that right there just would go against everything morally that they went to school for and learned and really just in you morally as a person. I can't put you back out here on the field if you got a kidney disease that you might die on the field. You got a neck injury, you could die or you could be paralyzed. I can't be the one that signs off on that. And so they have to protect you from yourself. That's the biggest thing. Right. They got to protect you from yourself. If you're the type of guy, I just want to play. I want to play. They're like, no, let's talk about this. You know, so I would think that, they have a vested stake. We've saw the reports on the money that would be dead cap money and all of that stuff. So, yeah, you put all of that in it, but at the end of the day, it comes down to the player protecting the player from himself, and that's it.
Eric Wood, a career-ending neck injury. That's what we are talking about today. You're welcome to join us, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. This is not about Eric Wood. We're going to kind of get our first questions in for the offensive coordinator of the Bills. That's coming up at 2:30. Call here from Jim in Tonawanda. Go ahead, Jim. You're on the air.
First, wish the best to Eric. He was a true warrior for us, and just wish him in his future endeavors. But I just wonder what you guys think, if we got somebody on the roster to replace him, or is he somebody in the early rounds that we would address, and is there any good centers out there you know of that the Bills possibly could take a shot at?
I don't know of any who might be a free agent. Like I said, I'm okay with even Ryan Groy being the guy. The way he stepped in, in 2016 for Eric Wood, and you didn't hear much about him, anything negative, giving up a bunch of sacks or bad plays or any of that stuff, I'm okay with them actually putting him in there. I don't know who's a free agent out there.
I was just going to start to look, and I haven't done any homework at all on centers in the draft. Typically not a high profile or you know, a big there's very few, very rare does a center come out in the draft that gets anybody's attention before the draft. So we're not quite there yet because, you know, the news is just coming out today. But I'll take a look, see if I can find some potential free agent centers. Mark calling from Buffalo. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I think Eric was a real trooper for our team. It's too bad he's going to be gone. I wouldn't be surprised if the guy goes into coaching.
Really? Why do you say that?
That's the type of person he is. He'll miss the game, so that's another phase he can still be with the game.
I don't know about that.
It's interesting. I've seen those tweets as well. People saying, "Man, he should go into coaching. The Bills should hire him as a coach." When you and I just was talking about when you're done playing, there is something you have to go through mentally first, especially if it's stripped away from you because of health or something like that, which it most players are. There's something you have to go through, and then you have the family aspect of it. And a lot of players, when they're done playing, they're like, "Man, who knows? Maybe down the road." Maybe even right away, but you'll get most players to say, "I want to spend some time with my family." Because you're traveling so much, you're in the stadium all day, every day, especially during the season. But in the off season, you spend a lot of time here as well. You're moving your family back and forth unless you live here permanently. And most players don't live here permanently or in any city that they play in. They usually live where they're from. You're moving your family back and forth in season, out of season. Once you get into coaching, now you're right back into that type of life.
Yeah.
Now, some players can do it. Others don't. Others say, "Look, man, I'm ready to settle in. I've made some money. I'm ready to just settle down for a little bit." And then you get 4 or 5 years out, you might get bored or something like that, and you're like, "Let me get back into some coaching."
You know what? And just from what I know of Eric, and this total speculation, have not talked to him, if I were looking for something that he will occupy his time with in the immediate future.
I already know where you're going with this.
Horse racing.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he owns pieces of a horse, right, with Patino and some folks down there in Louisville. He loves horse racing, Derby every year. But he's a fan, and he probably has some disposable income. I would think so. I think he's going to be all over horse racing. That would be my guess.
I would think so, and that could be something that helps him mentally. Yeah. You got to find something that can help you mentally just get away from it and not think about it. And we know that he loves that, and that could be something once if he goes back to Kentucky – where he could just go over there and mess around with the horses every day.
Yeah, be a part owner. I know, as I said, he already is a part owner in some respects, but maybe spend more time with it. Plus, you know, in horse racing, people, I know it's not a cool sport to many people, but it's very competitive.
And obviously
he has a competitive streak, and if he likes to compete against other people, owning a horse, racehorse or getting involved in horse racing, I think would probably satisfy that urge a little bit.
Yeah, going to watch the horse run, practice,
train,
all of that stuff.
Train.
Yeah, when you are into actually owning stakes of horses, you have a much more vested interest in it because you have your money involved. And so, I want to see what you're doing in terms of training with this horse. And how does that compare to another horse that I've seen train? Maybe another horse that won last year's Derby or something like that, because I have money invested in this. And like I said, that could take him away from football just for a little bit. Maybe at some point he'll want to get back into it. Maybe he'll coach Louisville and won't have to leave. Kentucky.
They have a vacancy. Wonder what he knows. he knows a little basketball, but he could be Patino's successor.
Yeah.
We hope to talk to Eric about all of these issues Monday when he's here back in Buffalo. A tweet on this from Tom Quigley to you and I, Donald. Do either of you think that Eric Wood's retirement will affect the Bills' decision on whether to bring Kyle Williams back in terms of wanting to keep a leader in the locker room? Interesting question. I mean, Kyle Williams has a voice in that decision as well. So will it affect Kyle Williams' thoughts on coming back? I don't know. Will it affect the Bills' decision? You know, you're losing. Here's another one. Do you think the news about Eric Wood will play into Kyle Williams' decision to retire or not? I don't know. Hopefully we had a chance to talk to Kyle about that. I don't think he's made up his mind yet on what his plans are, but that's something to keep an eye on.
Look, here's the thing. Those two guys are friends. They've been here, the longest tenure players here on the team. You saw the picture, how happy they were together once they got into the playoffs. So you'd have to, and this is totally speculation, but you'd have to think it will be in his mind when he's making his decision, along with the quarterback. just like last year.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to be the quarterback? Are we taking a step back? Are we still going forward in this thing? Are we moving, getting better every single year? And all coaches will tell you we're getting better, but he's going to look at it and look at those steps that have to be made. And then you have the and people are asking, does the team now bring him back because of
the leadership
in the locker room? Well, first of all, he has to figure out if he wants to come back. The team has to figure out if they want to bring him back. Even if they say, we need Kyle now because he's a leader, he might not want to come back because Eric has now gone, one of his good friends on the team. So there's a lot in that decision.
Would you were never got to this point. Would you make a decision on your career based on whether
another
one
player?
Of your friends were there or not?
No.
I wouldn't.
No. You can't.
Love your friends. You'll always be friends.
Hey, man, I'm making whatever million. Let's just say $5 million this year. I'll come and catch you. I'll come out and catch you. But, you know, I gotta play this thing as long as I could. If I want to still play it, I'm going to play as long as I can play it. I can't make a decision based on the fact that you're not there. But I will say this. I know from talking to different players, mainly Stevie, when I was gone, Stevie was a different person because Stevie was the type of player that didn't – he had friends all throughout the team, but there were certain things that Stevie and I talked about just because we got each other. And that you might have that with that situation, Eric and Kyle, because they've been here so long, they know so much about each other. Now that one person is gone, and Kyle's like, man, not that he's going to make a decision based on it, but it would be different for him because he doesn't have his boy, Eric Wood, on the other side of the locker room.
Let's take a couple of phone calls on Eric Wood's decision to retire. Mark calling from Lockport. Hello, Mark. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, my question is for Donald.
What up, though?
Donald, Eric Wood's situation was discovered as a season-ending injury after the season was over. What precautions does the team take during the year to see if these type of situations can be discovered? Because chances are that he might have played in that last playoff game with this situation already existing. I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you.
I mean, that's a great question, and that's not something I don't think we'll ever know. What if he was truly in pain throughout the entire course of the season, if he had been in pain for the last couple of years? I mean, that's something that, unless he comes out and says it, that's not something that we'll ever know.
Right. He'll get asked this question Monday.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he
as
will.
As he should.
And if your neck is messed up, you're feeling something about it. You're feeling something. And I don't know how long he had been dealing with that, but he was probably playing, and this is playing the season feeling like this thing hurts.
Or at least, at the very least, you'd think it'd be something's not right here.
Yeah, something's not right here. You know, I got to get this thing looked at. And then they go and do the physical, and then they will say, you should go get it looked at some more.
Yeah, but his question, and it's an interesting question. Do they know about this? Does it get worse? We don't know these answers.
We don't know.
Like you said, I don't know if Eric will even talk about it.
Right.
On Monday.
And players a lot of times deal with certain things that they don't say anything to the coaching staff. If it's something that it hurts a little bit, but I can play through it, I might not say anything to the training staff because that's another thing that, and you have to remember. Players have a lot of pressure on them to perform. And the one thing players don't want to do is be hurt and not be able to play in a game because you do have a Ryan Grigg behind you who can step in and take your spot right away. You do have players that they're always out there looking for. I remember when I first made the team, one of the scouts came to me and said, all right, you made a team. My job now is to go find somebody that can do what you do better and cheaper. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, well, it's no cheaper than me. I'm on the league minimum. Like, it doesn't get much cheaper than me. And we joked and laughed. But when you're a guy like Eric Wood, who's been there for a while, who's making some money, they're looking for somebody cheaper than you that can play. And so you have a lot of pressure every day to perform in the locker room, to perform in the classroom, perform on the field in practice, and then in games. And so if you're dealing with something and it's not hurting you too bad where – you don't have to go to them and say, oh, man, I'm in pain. I don't know if I can play this week. Chances are you might not say anything. So we don't even know if the training staff knew about this until the physical. That's something we just won't know unless he comes out and says it.
803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Your thoughts on Eric Wood's decision today. Let's go to Al in Kenmore. Hello, Alan. You're on the air.
Good, thank you. First of all, best wishes to Eric and his family in the future. And my question is, since he just signed an extension, what is the cap consequences with him forced to retire?
That's a great question.
People are speculating on that.
There's a lot of speculation there. I've seen different reports and different numbers, so I'm not even sure.
Me neither. I'll look that up. And I also will look up the I'm not even there yet, by the way. I mean, you know, mentally, I mean, I'm not quite there yet. There will be a cap implication, obviously, but I don't know. Are we really there yet? Some people are, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, some people are. Some people are.
Our buddy Mike Giannitti from SpotTrack tweeted this out a while ago. Assuming Woods' neck injury stems from football, likely, the Bills will also be on the hook for his $4.8 million salary this coming year, raising the total dead cap hit to $10.4 million. $4.8 million base salary in 2018, guaranteed for injury. The standard in Woods' contract is being unable to play in sole judgment of team doctors due to football injury. $4.8 million becomes fully guaranteed on the third day of the league year, March 16th. But we'll see. I mean, I think that's kind of up in the air, right? How do they, you know, what do the doctors say?
Yeah. And as we're talking about them sitting in their meetings, this is something now that they have to look at. They have to add this into their equation as they look at free agents and they look at the draft and all of that stuff, because now whatever the number is, if that's correct, all right, now we got to add this to it. So we had this much room to deal with. Now we don't have this much room to deal with. So do we need to get lighter? Do we need to cut a certain player so that we can get rid of that $4.8 million again? I mean, these are different things that they got to make decisions on.
And when people earlier, you know, today, late this morning, wondering, well, why don't the Bills announce something? Why don't somebody tweet something? Let us know what's going on. These are some of the considerations.
Right.
Like what is the contractual? You know, so you hear the news, but everything, you know, is still getting sorted out. So I don't know exactly. That's what Mike Giannitti said at SpotTrack. He's usually got good figures. But what do the doctors say? You know, how much of it is goes to an injury? How much of it is a, I don't know if it's a pre-existing condition, but sort of an ongoing condition that maybe makes the equation different financially. I don't know. That'll be sorted out. Dan on his cell phone. Hello, Dan. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. The old coach of Orchard Park High School, Dan Alvin. How you doing?
Good, Dan. How you doing?
Long time.
Yeah.
I just got a question. When I hired a coach, it was because he could coach, and so I let him coach. And I think Tyrod Taylor is a good quarterback, and I don't understand why we have to call his plays for him. He's a veteran, and it's kind of like, you know, he's cooking the meal. Let him buy the groceries. I think he would be a much better quarterback if this kid could call his own plays. Let him go downfield. Let him get insights from his players in the huddle and so forth. I just don't get it. It's kind of like a backseat driver. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the way the league works, though, Dan. No team in the NFL allows a quarterback to call all his own plays. Some have more leeway than others, but
John, do you really think Aaron Rodgers needs an offensive coordinator to call his plays for him?
Yeah. I do. I see Mike McCarthy with his call sheet on the sidelines sending in every play, virtually every play. Yeah, things are pretty complex, Dan. I mean, there's a lot to consider. Donald can speak to this. I think Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, they all lean on the play call.
One of the masters at it, Brady, they will give Brady a sequence of plays or a select amount of plays. Let's just say three plays, and when he gets to the line of scrimmage – he has the ability to be able to switch. Or you look at the Eagles, something that everybody should pay attention to in the and you won't know this, but a lot of what they do in Philly are run pass options. What the Bills actually did with Tyrod Taylor when he on first and goal when you got the pass interference in the playoff game. A lot of what the Eagles do is run pass options. And so that gives the quarterback two different goals at it, depending on what he sees once he gets out there. But they still call into the huddle. I mean, yeah, they still call into his helmet in the huddle and say, all right, this is the play, whether it's a number on the wristband, whatever the case might be. And he looks at it and says, okay, now I have the options of these plays.
Here's a call from Brian in Atlanta. Go ahead, Brian. Welcome. You're on the show.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I didn't even know this was going to happen, but the one guy I wanted us to draft in the first round was Price out of Ohio State, the center.
Wow.
Mainly because Wood was getting up there in age. Incognito's getting up there in age. He won the center of the year, but he could also play guard.
Right.
I think he was the guy to go, and now today this happens. So I'm hoping we draft Price. I think his first name is Billy. You could look him up.
Okay, we will look him up. I would say at this point, Donald, and I'm interested in your take, this is not a time to overreact. The Eric Wood news is shocking, comes out of left field for all of us, clearly, but don't, you know, jump to, okay, got to get a center now in the first round. You know, as we've said here several times, the list is long. The Bills personnel needs list is long. Got a little bit longer today. I wouldn't just jump at the first center who, you know, attracts your attention at the Senior Bowl or at the Combine, or maybe you've watched him in the college year. But is that really the number one need for the Bills going into this year for one? I'm not sure it is. Even with today's news, I don't think center is.
How often do teams draft centers in the first round?
Not very often, Donald.
Not often, right? I mean, Eric was a first-rounder.
Late first-round, yeah.
Late first-rounder, and he was a guard first.
Came in and played guard, yeah.
I mean, it's – you got to be a beast of a player, of a center, to be drafted in the first round. And I'm sure it's happened in the past, and teams might feel they have a need for it. But I don't know. If you have a Ryan Groy – sitting there, a guy who's played it in the past, been really successful in the past at that position, do you go ahead and draft one in the first round? I'm not sure you want to use those first two picks on that. I think you have other holes on this team that you need to work out, especially when you had a guy that you actually matched to bring back here for situations like this.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, coming up very shortly, Brian Daboll, the new offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, will join us to talk about his version of the Bills' offense, what he expects to do here, his tenure in the NFL. All of that coming up when we return. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, John Murphy and Donald Jones, and we finally get our first chance to talk to the brand-new offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, Western New York native Brian Daboll, in studio with us. Coach, thanks for coming by, Brian.
Yeah, great to be here.
Just about a year ago, you and I talked at the baseball stadium in Houston about you were with the Patriots at the time. Who would have thought that a year later here you'd be part of the Bills coaching?
Time flies, you know.
Yeah.
Less than a year ago, I remember that conversation. It was great. Just a whirlwind here the last year. You know, had an opportunity to be part of that and then move on to Alabama, which I had a great experience at, and then finished with the national championship this year. So excited to be here.
Since we talked, you've won a Super Bowl and a national championship. That's a pretty good year.
Yeah, right place, right time, you know.
Well, good. Everything I touch is turns to gold.
Oh, yeah. Heck, man. No, it was a great experience there. Obviously a great game, you know, the last game to be part of in the national championship, just a, you know, kind of a down low, and then you just kind of stay level-headed and keep grinding and give yourself a chance at the end of the game to go ahead and get a win.
Now, you come back home to Buffalo, where you're from. Your buddy, now I run a after-school program in West Seneca School District. Your buddy's a guidance counselor there. Your buddy Rob.
Yes.
Yeah. Always traveling to your games
no
and everything.
Question. Yep.
Is he listening right now? Did you tell him you're going to be on?
No, I did not. But he, a very, very loyal friend. And he won a championship too. So
yeah, he did.
Extremely excited for him. But, you know, you have these guys that you grow up with, you know, particularly from here that are lifelong friends that would do anything for you and great supporters. I'm just happy that, you know, he and West Seneca West got that win.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, it's you are in an interesting spot. 16 years in the NFL, 17 seasons in the NFL, right?
Yeah, this will be 18, I think.
18th season coming up. And during that time, you never have coached here for your hometown team.
That's, yeah.
You know, you've been around, obviously, a lot of different players, especially in the AFC East.
Yeah, I think it's 15 of the 18 years I was in the AFC East, 11 with New England, a year with Miami, a few years with the Jets. So needless to say, you know, family and friends, they kind of get tired of, you know.
Yeah, like, what are you doing
to us? Because they're loyal and
it's
they'll
like you're
go
circling
ahead.
And, around.
There's no question about it. So I'll tell you a funny story. Is when I ended up taking a job, I came back home, and you know, I was just thinking I'm coming to my house here in Orchard Park. It would be empty, and I open a garage, and there's things all over my garage. nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. I walk in, there's a bunch of people there. They're playing the shout song. So,
excellent.
You know, it was a pretty cool deal.
Family, right?
Yeah, no question.
Tell us about your family here. You had family here for years, even when you're moving around the league, right?
Yeah, you know, my grandparents, who are still alive, they live in the same house that I grew up in over in West Seneca, 92 and wow. 83, somewhere around there. Yeah. So, you know, they're doing good, and I have some aunts and uncles that live here and, you know, a lot of friends. So, you know, basically my entire family that I grew up with, besides my mother who lives in North Carolina, are here in Western New York.
Are the ticket requests going to get easier for you now or even harder now that you're here at the Bills?
Well, fortunately, I have a great wife, so I let her take care of all those things. Yep.
That's how you do it.
With yeah, Brian my Dick. Wife's from here, too.
Is she?
Yeah. So.
Did you met here or did you meet in college?
Yeah, no, we met here. So she's from Lancaster. Okay. She grew up in you know, in the city of Buffalo, and then moved out to Lancaster. So there's a lot of Buffalo love from my house.
You've been circling this area for years.
You got to be happy to come back home as well.
No question. Yeah. No question. Great opportunity to be here. But, you know, really to get to know Sean again in this type of capacity where he's the head football coach and Brandon and the Pegula family, I just, you know, I think they do things right here, and I'm anxious to be part of it.
With Brian Daboll, the new offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, as he settles into his new job, tell me about your St. Francis connection. Are you part of the Polian Mafia over there with Chris and Brian?
Yeah, and Dave Caldwell and Tommy Telesco and all those guys. You know,
were you
and obviously
there contemporary. You're there.
So and Coach Smith and Coach Shabetta, who are, you know, are great friends of mine, and Tony Giardina was also a coach over there. You know, just fond memories of that place. Holds a special place in my heart. There's a lot of good friends that are still here and. Yeah. It's good to see, you know, guys from that school doing so well.
Yeah. I know what it's like to have players all around the league, even when I'm playing, and we trash talk back and forth. Do you trash talk with guys who are coaches or GMs on one of the teams?
No, I'm not, you know, no, I don't.
No?
You know, it's just mutual respect for everybody's got a tough job to do in this business. Mm-hmm. A lot of good friendships, but it's very competitive.
It's got to be more than coincidence that all of you St. Francis Red Raiders are in the NFL. And I know Bill Polian has had a great influence on everyone, including me in some respects.
Sure.
But all of you guys, I mean, two GMs, several coaches, personnel people. I mean, Chris Polian, I saw him down at Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago. It's pretty amazing for a little – it's not a big school over there.
Yeah, no, we're very proud of it, you know. We're very proud of it. So, you know, and I saw Kyle Smith. He's a college scout for, you know, Washington Redskins.
You see him down at the Senior Bowl probably.
Yeah, saw him at the Senior Bowl. So there's a lot of us around from St. Francis. I'd say it's probably more than most places.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're in high school, for like you said, it's not a coincidence. Is that something you guys talk about? One day I want to be a coach in the league or a GM in the league.
No, I just think it's, you know, we all started out kind of the hard way, grunting it out and grinding it out. And, you know, a lot of respect for all those guys that have done such a fantastic job. That's why they're where they're at. You know, Dave just was in the AFC Championship game. And
yeah.
Tom's done a really good job, and Chris is with Dave. And, you know, Brian did a great job. He was head coach in Nevada. He's at Notre Dame. So just take a lot of pride in seeing, you know, your friends do well.
I wonder how – I often think – not often, but I do think about how much of it might have been you guys looking at Chris Polian, Brian Polian, Dennis Polian, seeing what they went through, how much fun they were having in your high school years, seeing what Bill, the father, did and thinking, hey, that's kind of a good lifestyle. I might like that.
Yeah, no, particularly growing up in the time that we grew up here in Western New York with all those, you know, great years from obviously the Buffalo greats. It was, you know, it was just awesome. That's why it's such a special place.
Yeah. We're with the Bills' new offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll. You also have a connection to Sean McDermott. It goes back several years to William & Mary. He was a player. You were a restricted earnings coach.
Yeah. So that was my first year. It was completely restricted. You know, no money.
I've heard of restricted earnings.
Yeah.
Completely restricted.
You know, thank God for my grandparents.
That's like
an
intern or a slave.
No, yeah, it was you know, a lot of work, but he was, I believe, a fifth-year senior.
Defensive back?
Really, defensive back, safety, hard hitter. He was a hard hitter. He was a good football player, good leader, had really good leadership skills. And, you know, we've never worked together, you know, since now, but we've stayed in touch, you know, not a tremendous amount, but, you know, you have common teams and things like that. Just very impressed in the short time that I've been here with how he handles things.
It's so funny because I've seen a team picture with Coach McDermott, Mike Tomlin out there in Pittsburgh. I believe you were in the picture.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it about William & Mary?
There's some guys from William & Mary, no question. I don't know. I've been part of some fortunate places that have, you know, guys have done a really good job at. You know, Coach Laycock was great to work for down there. He's been there forever, since 1981, I think. So, you know, a lot of good lessons learned there, too.
And at this point, I have to mention Mark Kelso is the one who married Tracy.
There you go.
Marv Levy.
Marv Levy is
waiting. I don't know how I offer you. Once again, the common thread there is you.
No, that's funny. Yeah.
Tell me about Coach Laycock and the influence he may have had on your career, Jimmy Laycock down there.
Yeah, no, just another really successful coach. Just so young when I started, obviously, there. I was just graduating from college and just try to soak everything. A very, you know, perfectionist. He was an offensive guy. I actually worked on the defensive side, but very good manager, good leader. You know, he's won a lot there, so he's had a winning program for a long time, done things the right way. So it was good to learn, start my career from him.
Brian, how did you get matched up with Bill Belichick? When did that start, and how did that come about?
Yeah, well, I mean, I owe everything to Coach Saban. So I was a graduate assistant at Michigan State,
right?
And you know, I said, look, I'd like to try to get into the National Football League. And Coach Belichick just had got a job with New England from the Jets. So, you know, Coach Saban said, look, I'm going to call him and recommend him if that's what you want to do. So, you know, thank God he called him. He recommended. I went there. I went through a really long interview along with a lot of other young guys, kind of the 2020 program, 20 hours a week, 20 grand a year, which I made a little less than that. but – that's kind of how it started, was through the connection with Coach Saban, who recommended me. So I had an opportunity to get an interview and ended up getting that job, and, you know, got a little bit more on my plate every year from Coach Belichick.
What did you get from him? I mean, I'm sure a lot over the course of your career, but are there a couple of high points that you...
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, the biggest mentor I've had, obviously, in this profession. Yeah. I've been 11 years with him. You know, there's really not much that I haven't got from him. You try to soak up everything that he talks about. He's a tremendous leader. He knows the league. He's not just really smart football. He's smart, you know, in other areas too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you try to take as many notes as you can have. You know, I had a good mentor in him. And, you know, obviously Sean's had a good mentor in Andy. So, you know, just right place, right time.
We get caught up, the fans here and me, on the Patriots' mystique. Like, they know something that we don't know. They have something that we don't have. And I'm sure it's like that in many NFL cities. Is there anything to that? What's the secret?
Just work hard and, you know, try to do the right thing. And look, before you can win, you got to stop from losing type of mentality and do the little things the right way. But, you know, just really work hard.
Are there any similarities now? You knew Coach McDermott from the past, and now you're working with him here. Any similarities between those two, maybe style of leadership or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, I think that Sean was just a very even-keeled person. And again, I've only been here for a little bit over a week, but I sense that he's just an even keel. He was a good leader on the field. He was very smart. He could diagnose plays. He was a good communicator. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see, obviously it's been a short time, but he's a very, very good communicator here, good leader.
With Brian Daboll, the new offensive coordinator for the Bills, just a couple of questions I have for you here, Brian. Do you have, in all your years, now 17 seasons in the NFL, do you have what you consider to be your offensive philosophy?
Yeah, that's, you know, look, teams have a variety of plays, and you have to have a variety of plays in today's day and age, you know. Gap schemes, outside zone, inside zone, three-step, play action. But it's such a week-to-week league. You know, you install your stuff early in training camp, and then each week you have to do a good job of formulating a plan and putting together a plan based on, you know, the strengths of your players, the weaknesses of your players, and then the strengths of the other team. You know, it's not just a, you know, cookie cutter deal. We always try to game plan each week, and, you know, sometimes it can be completely different from week one to week two.
We always talk about a philosophy or playbook or style of coaching for a coordinator, offensive or defensive. You guys just got back from the Senior Bowl, and I won't ask you about individual players, but did you see anything down there that was like, I like that kid. He can fit into what I like to do.
Yeah, you know, look, when you go down there, and I haven't spent a lot of time down here at the Senior Bowl in the 18 years. It's only a handful of times. It's just such an introductory process in terms of either meeting the players or just, you know, kind of watching practice, observing things. But you come back, you really dive into the tape. It's just such a – just a early part of the evaluation process.
When you talk about a week-to-week league, it leads me to think that maybe you value versatility when it comes to players, like guys who can adapt if you want to change something week-to-week?
Yeah, I think you have to have smart players, you know, that can do those things. I don't think you can just run one thing over and over again. I think the defenses and coaches are, you know, they pick up on things, and, you know, you have to have versatile players that are smart, that can, you know, be multifaceted in terms of understanding different roles that they have to do.
You will call plays on offense? That's your plan?
Mm-hmm.
And you've done that before?
Mm-hmm.
I have this ongoing debate, and Donald gets laughs at me, but some of the callers sometimes, I think people overvalue the importance of an actual, of an individual play call as part of the, as far as the role of a coordinator. I mean, I think part much of what you do as a coordinator is design the offense. This is who we are. This is what we like to do. And then you pick out the plays and you call them off your call sheet in the course of the game. Am I wrong?
No, I look. You
can tell me I'm wrong. People
no,
do all
no,
the
you,
time.
Look, you it encompasses everything.
Yeah.
You know, it encompasses all the preparation during the week, the organization of it, and then on game day, you know, you have to, you know, be good situationally in terms of what you think they're getting, and you have to be able to adjust. You know, an adjustment doesn't just start at a halftime. Adjustment starts after the first series.
I heard you say that to Chris Brown the other day, and glad to hear that, because I think people sometimes think there's like some magic elixir that you dish out at halftime. You know,
yeah,
you can't.
Right? There's
you,
no time
I mean,
to so
do it. So much. Yeah, you have like 5 minutes to be able to adjust.
Yeah, it's a quick process, and you have to be continually doing that throughout the game. You know, just after the second half. You know, there might be things that you hold from the beginning of the game to the second half for a new look or something like that. But, you know, again, you don't really know exactly what you're going to get in until you get to the flow of the game. And usually there's a script in the early part of the game, both offensively and defensively, and you got to let that play out, and then you get a feel for, you know, is it they're going to play more man on third down, where they're going to play eight guys, and, you know, they're going to have their game plan too.
You get a better feel for the game on the sideline during the game, or where you can see guys and speak to guys, or up in the booth?
Yeah, I've done both. I mean, both. I've done both in the career that I've had, so they've both been, you know, it's both been good. You know, when you're on the field, you're eye to eye, you're contact with it. When you're up in the upstairs, you kind of get a little bit more vision on the field.
Hey, Ryan, you got the job a little less than 2 weeks ago. You've settled in a little bit here at home and in the building here, and it's a little trip to the Senior Bowl. What's your first priority here moving forward the next week or two? What do you think that'll look like for you?
Yeah, well, today was really the first day that I sat down with all the offensive coaches in one meeting room. So we're just kind of grinding away here, you know, starting to look at the playbook, and, you know, we got free agent evaluations and the typical things that you start at this time of the year. It's, you know, it's early in the process, but you're already starting for the season right now.
Yeah, and you know what to expect. Unlike some people, you won't be whining about weather here when you're in Western
New York.
Yeah,
you know what to expect. I mean, did you get a chance to? And I'm from Jersey, too, basically.
Oh, yeah, the Garden State.
You go from winning the championship to being hired here and then going really straight to Mobile. Have you had a chance to vacation at all from?
No, you know, it's kind of –
That
was right after too last year's, you know, Super Bowl. It was kind of went from there, went right down to, you know, to the University of Alabama, then came right here. But, you know, this is what we love to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm home now, so it's pretty convenient in terms of, you know, being around family and friends.
Good.
But a place that I love, a community that I love. So it's exciting for our family.
Well, at least it's sunny out. Is it still sunny out?
Yeah, I think it's always about the weather.
You can't complain about
always
the weather,
always about
man.
The weather, right? Tell them. I've been telling them for
weather,
a year
weather hardens you, man.
That's right.
Man, no.
Brian, it's great to have you here. Thank you for this.
And great to be here,
we'll
guys.
We'll get a chance to talk some more down the road here.
Really appreciate the conversation. Thanks.
Thanks. Ryan Dable is the new offensive coordinator for the Bills. Donald and I back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Well, we learned today that Eric Wood has called it a career. The veteran center with a neck injury decided that he has not been cleared to play and will not play anymore, and we talked about that for most of the day. Got comments from Richie Incognito down at the Pro Bowl in Orlando about Eric Wood's career-ending injury.
Huge loss today for the Bills organization. Eric's a special guy. He's been in Buffalo his entire career. He's been a great friend to me, great teammate, great leader, a guy that I really leaned on a lot when I first got back in the league. It's really a sad day. You know, E. Wood, provided that friendly face in the locker room and that kind of cover for me to be myself. And he's really instrumental in all my success I've had the last couple of years, just having a buddy to talk to. I really can't say enough good things about him. He's just he's a great teammate. He's a great leader. He's a great person. I think he's done great with his platform, you know, as being an athlete and trying to help people.
Richie Incognito on Eric Wood's announcement today. Also today, we talk with our buddy Greg Cosell from ESPN and the NFL Matchup Show. He talked about the importance of a good center to an NFL offense.
Well, the center in particular, in most offenses, the center will be responsible for making adjustments before the ball is snapped. And that is so critical. That's why sometimes it's hard when you're studying tape to know exactly what a protection call is, because an adjustment could be made, you know, 4 seconds before the ball is snapped by the center yelling out, you know, whatever the adjustment is. But I think centers are absolutely critical in today's NFL. And I think that, you know, they set the tone very often mentally, because to me, the offensive line, and again, I made the point about athleticism, you don't have to have five thoroughbreds, but I think the cohesion of a unit is so critical.
Greg Cosell on the importance of a center. And the news was surprising today, Donald, but as you pointed out right from the start, long-term for Eric Wood's life, maybe not, you know, the worst possible news.
Right. Long-term for his life, that's what you have to think about, just long-term. And for him, that's what he's thinking about. Long-term, I'll be okay with this.
All right. We'll see you again Monday with the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We'll be live at One Bills Drive with the Eric Wood announcement here on Buffalo Bills Radio.